welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Wow, this is a first.
Yes,
Adam
indeed,
usually
indeed.
Makes it just in time.
Wow.
To warm his coffee up and sit down.
Well, I hope he's enjoying tea and B in the morning on his drive into work.
I see him. He's got his mug. No time for a warm up. Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Wow.
Wow, it's a first.
Yeah, it's weird.
Now you got to get us a cake.
I wonder if the clock in my car is a little bit off. I have it set for 1 minute early. Got out at 5:58. Oh, well. Hey, what's happening? Good morning, 866-901-ADAM. God, that sucks. Technically late. Now, how long had you guys been speaking?
15 seconds.
If that. We were in stunned silence for a good half that time.
Gotta check my car.
We wanted to just do a simple show, but Teresa's freaking out a little bit, so.
Yeah. Brian over there was in a panic.
I know you showed up.
I don't understand it, and I'm not sure how patterns or traffic patterns work, but some mornings there's considerably more traffic for no good reason, and then it doesn't show up for 2 months, and then there's a bunch more cars.
If it's all random, then one day will be more extreme. There'd be one day that'd be completely light, and one day on the other end of the spectrum be completely heavy, and you hit the heavy day.
Yeah, but I don't know why that works. I don't know how that works.
I'll tell you what. When you came strolling down the hall, I thought, Jay Leno's here.
Yeah, I'm dressed.
Full denim.
Yeah. I'm in full denim this morning. I don't know why I decided that, but hey, good times. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Morning, Bald Brian.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Let's see. Now, what'd you guys do yesterday? You had the day off, right?
Oh, so great.
All sorts of errands for me, getting ready for Valentine's Day. What about you?
Yeah, much of the same.
I was at Willow Springs at the racetrack.
Ooh.
Turning some hot laps.
Wow.
Yeah. Doing, there's a
Where's Willow Springs?
Yeah.
Willow Springs is a, well, I was going to say famous, but evidently not. Race course, known as the fastest track in the West. Ooh. You go down the 14, you go down the 5, it's way out there.
It's way like north of here.
Halfway to Edwards Air Force Base, but, they have a great big track out there. It's been there for like 50 years.
What were you driving?
I do this show every once in a while where they go test drive cars on Speed Channel, and I was doing these, new Pontiac G8s, big V8 Pontiac. And they just put you in a new car, and you just go out there and flog it, and you have a good time.
Neat.
Hey, 866-901-ADAM, how say you, Sal?
Yeah.
What's happening, Sal?
How you doing, Adam?
Doing good.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thanks.
Hey, to celebrate Valentine's Day, I thought I'd ask you what your views on the death penalty are.
I like the death penalty. I'm not one of these guys that thinks life is that valuable. There's lots of people on the planet. They die all the time. And I have this feeling. I basically put people in this cat. Here's the deal. First off, everyone dies. So to me, it's not that tragic when somebody dies, but it's tragic when an innocent person dies. And when a guilty person dies, it's no big deal. As a matter of fact, it's a good thing. It goes beyond, hey, this is a bad thing or this is a tragedy. It's a good thing. I mean, we could all close our eyes and pick out a whole bunch of names from the past of people that if they would have died, if somebody would have gotten hold of these guys on their 15th birthday, put a pistol under their chin and blown their effing head off, the world would be a much better place.
Sure, my stepmother, if she had died, I'd be well adjusted.
No, that's right. All the money you would have saved on therapy would be awesome. Seriously, and I mean, everyone thinks of, you know, Hitler and Stalin and Mussolini and Pol Pot, and everyone thinks about that. There's just your regular guys, too. I mean, there's your basic serial killers or the basic guys, you know, anytime you take a life. Look, if you find me a guy, there's a pretty simple way of looking at it for me. I've never even really looked at it this way. If you find a guy and you tell me, if I had some sort of magic wand, like the kind of thing they wave around you as a metal detector at the airport when they pull you out of line.
Yeah.
If you could do that to every 15-year-old kid and go, uh-oh, this guy's going to kill somebody sometime soon or sometime in his lifetime. Good, let's pull that guy out of line and put a bullet in his head.
How dare you?
I would love that. I would love that society. I would be elated with that society. Now we'd have to adjust the thing because there's murder and then there's vehicular manslaughter and then there's, you know, malpractice suits where people die during operations. Don't get me wrong. I don't want those people killed. If I knew on everyone's 15th birthday that this guy and less frequently gal was going to go out and commit murder one, and it was not because it was a situation where her husband physically and sexually abused her for years and eventually she'd had enough, but just went out and killed somebody, I would like that person dead right then. And then I would walk through society a happy man.
I agree.
So I don't care about your life. And when you take someone else's life, well, then you've now relinquished every right, including the right to live, by the way. I'm fine with that. I like the message. It moves thing along, moves things along. And for me, the most important part of it is the families of the victims.
Right.
Because poor Sharon Tate's mom has to make the pilgrimage from Waco, Texas, or wherever the hell she lives. She has to come out here. She has to sit in front of Charlie Manson. She has to sit in front of Tex Watkins. She has to sit in front of all the other Squeaky Fron and all the other, all whatever's left of the tribe. And by the way, here's how you know there's no God. All the Mansons still doing just fine. Thank you. Yep. 35 years after all this thing, and 35 years is a, you know, when you take 8 or 10 people, and even if they're youngish people, there's a decent chance 35 years from now, two of them will have been taken by ovarian cancer or pancreatic cancer or something, right?
Yeah.
Nope. All the Mansons still doing great, still spending our money, still living in the joint. Tex Watkins, by the way, he's siring kids. He has 3 kids from inside the joint.
Yep.
She has to come out every 7 years. She has to sit in front of a parole thing. She has to look the killer of her daughter and unborn grandson in the eye and have a long, teary discussion about why this guy doesn't need to get out, as opposed to Timothy McVeigh. He's gone.
Yep.
He killed a bunch of people in Oklahoma City, and a couple years later, pow, he's dust. Yep. We don't have to hear about him writing manifestos from the joint. Geraldo's not going to do it. Just have a discussion with him. He's not going to get married and have kids. He's gone. He killed a bunch of people. We all signed off on it, and then we killed him.
Yep.
I like it. We move forward. Mm-hmm. Nobody of the 150-something victims in Oklahoma City, none of that family, none of those grieving families. So, by the way, never forget what happened, but they don't have to go look the guy in the eye in his next parole hearing.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm fine with it.
I see your point. You know what freaks me out?
Hmm.
All of the death row inmates who are exonerated when DNA evidence.
I don't like that either. I don't like that either. On the other hand,
It hasn't been proven that one person who's ever been executed in the United States is actually found innocent later.
Yeah, but we exonerated a lot of guys who are going to be
executed.
They've
never been executed, though.
Well, yeah, so you both have a point on this, and I understand it. And don't get me wrong. I would love it if we could get our criminal and judicial system worked out to such a way where we knew 100% these guys were guilty. And I now think with things like DNA evidence, we can come much, much closer to that. But for me, you know, if you said to me, hey, Adam, you're going to be falsely imprisoned for the rest of your natural life versus you're going to be killed falsely.
Yeah.
It's a push almost. Like if I got convicted of killing my wife tomorrow and I never did it and it was the one armed man and I grew a beard.
Jumped off a train.
Jumped off a dam. I mean, that happened to me. If you said, look, you're spending the next 50 years in the joint falsely, to me, that's as bad a sentence as death. I know it doesn't seem that way, but in a weird cosmic way, maybe worse.
But think about how much you'd escalate your ability to complain in prison.
You'd
go down a history box.
If I was in prison, like, you know, seriously, like if I went out of town, I'm
you
going
to complain endlessly about flying first class.
Yeah, first class
imagine being in the
was
hole.
Several ramps.
Oh, it would never end. So look, and as far as the cruel and unusual and the part where the lethal injection and now maybe they suffocate and all that, not interested either. Mm. Look, put a bullet in their head. I don't care. You know, I don't say they should be drawn and quartered, but I am saying put them to death. Put them to death quickly.
Yeah.
Whatever the standard we use for livestock. Good enough.
Oh, like in
Javier Bardem's gun?
For old men.
Yeah.
Cattle gun?
Yeah, I'm just saying, when we kill livestock, here's the idea of killing livestock. Do it quickly, do it relatively cleanly, and let's not make them suffer unneedlessly. On the other hand, let's not bend over backwards making sure the cow has, you know, doesn't feel an ounce of pain. That's the other thing. Here's my other death sentence thoughts too, by the way. I don't like the deals that are cut. I don't like it when there are two guys like the Hillside Strangler guys. One guy was, I think, Kenneth Bianchi, and the other guy had
Bono.
Yeah. Okay, there's two guys. Okay, these two guys would abduct women. They weren't the Green River Killers. They didn't go get a bunch of prostitutes. They went and just grabbed, just you walking out to your car getting ready to go to the market, they just grabbed you. And then they dragged you to the one guy's auto upholstery shop in some kind of warehouse district. And then they did things to you for a number of days. They experimented on you. They kept you alive. They kept you in and out of consciousness. They put electrodes on you. They did horrible, unspeakable things to these women. Well, one guy they got, and then the other guy, they wanted to use his evidence against the other guy, so they cut a deal with him, which is you'll not go to death if you can help us put the other guy to death. Now, I'm not so sure the other guy got the death penalty.
He didn't
get it either. But the point is, I want you both killed.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, if there was a third guy, and all that guy did was hang out and watch, and he never laid a hand on any of these girls, I want him dead too. And I want to live in that society where people walk around and they think, hey, if I see somebody and they're being tortured or they're having something horrible done to them and I do nothing, I'm getting it too. I want that guy killed too. And then the one last thought is extradition with countries that don't have the death penalty.
Mexico.
If we can kick your ass, then you give them back. That's the way it works. Right now, we got a Marine in Mexico. Mm-hmm. He killed his girlfriend and her unborn child, and we want him back. Mm-hmm. And Mexico's answer to that is, well, we'll only give him back if you promise not to kill him. And our answer to that is give him back, or first off, sober up and give him back.
Oh.
And by the way, please, Mexico, we're listening to you. Give him back, or we'll bomb your ass. Give him back, or we'll cut your ass off. Give him back, or we'll send over all the illegals back, and they can go ahead and graffiti up your town. Are you kidding? We're dealing with Mexico where we're bartering with Mexico? I hate that.
Yeah.
No other country in our position would do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think other countries that could crush other countries we could send the wax over and they could destroy Mexico. All we need is one M16 and one F18 and we could take over Mexico. We're bartering with those idiots.
Yeah.
Send the Marine back and here's the deal. We'll do with them what we want.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I love that. He kills somebody in our country. We have the laws of our land. He steps over an imaginary stripe in the desert, and now you're not going to give him back unless we make promises? But this is like, it was like a retarded kid shoplifting something from your store, and you got to barter with him to get the apple back. Give him back, or we'll bomb your ass, you retards. I can't stand that. And by the way, that goes for Mexico, that goes for France, that goes for any place in Europe. I don't care what your retarded laws are. We have our own retarded laws, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So give him back.
Yeah, I'm glad you feel that way, because I started a company called Sicken that uses comic book characters to advocate in favor of the death penalty.
Oh,
I think you'd like it.
Hey, Sal, do you think death penalty states have less violence or more violence?
You're that nerd.
Death penalty states?
Yeah. I'll tell you, they're more violent. But it's not a deterrent at all to violent crime. Think it would be?
Doesn't matter to me.
Doesn't matter, exactly.
Doesn't matter.
Why doesn't
to
it
me.
Matter? Aren't you trying to prevent violence?
If it's not a deterrent, then what is?
I'm not trying to prevent violence.
Promotes violence.
Well, no, I don't think it promotes violence.
No.
Killing. Look, death penalty doesn't prevent violence. Fences never stopped anyone from getting in. Torture, it hasn't worked for the last 2,000 years. First off, I don't buy all of it. Secondly, I don't care. I'm not trying to prevent anything. I know it's not a deterrent.
Yeah.
I know when you're in the throes of passion and you're drunk and you're whatever, you got a gun in your hand, you start killing. Now, I do it for the families.
Exactly.
I totally hear that point and that they would want that satisfaction, and I would love people to be locked up in a way that they would never have a parole hearing or see the light of day ever.
Well, we don't have that system.
They get comfortable in prison. They get free cable TV, free food and shelter.
Oh, my God.
The justice system is too imperfect. Too many chances of killing innocent people.
And then sometimes they get let out, or they kill people in prison. They kill prison guards.
It's horrible. I know. There's nothing worse.
Or you get what's his name who killed all those nursing students who said,
guy from Chicago.
Yeah, this guy was getting estrogen therapy.
Yeah,
what's his name, Bill? Do you know that cat's name?
No, I don't know his name. I was going to mention another point, though. There is another point that these death row guys will do murder by death penalty. They'll murder someone to get the death penalty. And that's happened in Texas a couple of times.
Well, there's also cases of them being in the joint and making phone calls and getting people murdered on the outside before they get murdered on the inside. Look, either way, these are all kind of spurious in the sense that not too many guys are innocent that are going to death. Not too many guys are calling for hits from inside the joint. Not too many of them are killing. They're all minuscule. To me, it's pure and simple. You kill somebody, I want you gone.
Eye for an eye.
I have no problem with that. I just like it. I like that society. Where are we? Let's see.
We gotta go to break.
Oh, we do. What the hell time is it? Holy Christ. Wow. Mark Steinis from Entertainment Tonight is calling in at 6:20, so we need to take a break. But I'll tell you what. Hang on, everybody. I want to talk to you. We'll take a quick break. How say you? After Mark Steinis from Entertainment Tonight, next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, and now with a sneak peek at this morning's show, program director Jack Silver.
Check, check, check! Good news, peeps! Jack Mann's pleased to announce that, after our big Playboy Mansion show, I am the first and only man in possession of Hepatitis E! Patient Zero! Woohoo! Today, Entertainment Tonight anchor Mark Steinis, super gay gossip couple Lynn and Alex, billionaire Richard Branson, the creator of the Pussycat Dolls, Robin Anton, a recap of last night's American Idol, and Survivor's Johnny Fairplay. Oh, if only we had someone on this show who had a run-in with Johnny Fairplay.
Oh, there is love in the air. Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we'll continue our House AU segment in just a couple of few, but first, from Entertainment Tonight, Mark Steinis. Mark?
Good morning, Adam.
Great to speak to you, Mark.
How are you?
Good. I like you, Mark.
Well, likewise. Likewise. By the way, I screened your film.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I did see the Hammer, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Very good. Well, very good.
Thank
we have
you.
More in common than you realize, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, pray tell.
Well, I did construction.
Oh, you did?
I didn't box.
But you played a little football, right?
But I played a little football, yeah. So I'm kind of right up in there. And like you, I do performance-enhancing drugs just to get me up in the morning. To get out there. No, I did, construction in college and just did a remodel on my in-law's house and whatnot. Gutted it completely.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed my film. Thanks for watching it.
Yes, absolutely. We have to do something. We have to get together and sit down and talk about it.
Well, I would love that. And, let's continue talking about you, Mark Steinis. I'm very fascinated in everyone's journey because, obviously, doing the job you're doing now, although it existed technically, wouldn't really have been a logical or practical thing to say to your guidance counselor in high school, this is what I'm going to do when I grow up.
So, yes, you're right. You're right.
So what did you say to your guidance counselor when you were in high school?
My goal was, and this when I say this now, it seems absurd that I missed the mark this much, but I wanted to direct music videos when I started out. I love shooting. I'm an avid photographer. I started my career as a cameraman because I wanted to be behind the scene and see a frame around my world. And now I'm in front of the camera wearing makeup and
talking about anorexic twins from Australia.
Exactly.
And what? So how did you take the turn? You're going to Iowa. You're playing football or University of Northern Iowa, playing ball over there. You want to be a photographer. You want to be a videographer. How does it work? How do you get in front of the camera?
Well, I ended up, you know, working in a small market in Iowa. The only access you have to any equipment like that is a local TV station. So I basically snooped around enough and got, you know, dialed in with an internship and worked there. And I was behind the scenes, and I also, you know, another aspiration was to play pro football. I mean, that's the
sure.
direction I wanted to go in. But, you know, I wimped out. Well, actually, I did my anterior cruciate, and my left knee wimped out, and one of the discs in my lower back decided, nah, I don't want to go that route. So I ended up having too many injuries to continue on with a career. So I thought, you know what, let me take the two things I love, you know, television and sports, and put them together. And I ended up going down the sportscaster road. And got me in front of the camera, and next thing I know, I was, you know, kind of moving up, and it seemed like the path of least resistance. I was getting a lot of reward out of it, and I ended up in Springfield, Missouri for a while, for about 3 years, and then I was kind of plucked from that and landed in L.A. and worked at KCAL in town for...
Two Emmys later, by the way.
Yeah.
You then go to Entertainment Tonight. Can you walk us through the schedule? Because that's another thing I'm curious about. How does the day go? I watch all the entertainment shows, and especially Entertainment Tonight, religiously. I can't help it. I'm not necessarily proud of it, but yet it is a more powerful addiction. It's better. It's really better than me just being a fan. I need to watch these shows. I can't help myself. How does the day go for you, Mark Steinis? What time do you have to show up? When do you lock the show off? Like, here's the stories we're going with.
Well,
how does it work?
It's a good question and tough to answer. For example, today doing, you know, calling in and chatting with you. I mean, it's an early rise, which you're not a stranger to.
Right.
But I'll go from here and I'll head in and we'll start taping the show, you know, start pre-production on the show about 9:30. And at 12:30, we send out our first satellite feed because you have to remember, 3 hour time difference, East Coast. That puts us at, you know, 3:30, and then some shows run us as early as like 4:30 in the afternoon.
Right, because it's syndicated, it'll run at different times in different places.
But we lock the show off. We're working with our sister show, The Insiders, so we do a combo hour. It gets kind of complicated, but for the most part, the day will end as far as production goes about 3:00, and then if there's movie premieres or interviews to do afterwards or something like that, I'll race out and cover and have that. And, you know, and then the cycle begins all over again.
In 10 years from now, where do you see yourself? Because you feel, take this in the spirit in which it's intended, but you seem like a substantial guy and that this wouldn't nourish you for the rest of your career. You'd want to go on to, I don't want to say bigger and better things, but different things.
Right. Well, I mean, this is a wonderful job. I'm not going to take anything away from it. Is it something that fulfills me all the way around? Probably no. I mean, look, you have the radio show, which I listen to all the time in the drive-in, and it's you're really good at it. But all you know, you have the film that's going on as well, and other things that you do. Yeah,
I'm dying to get out of this hellhole. I understand what you're saying, Mark.
No, there's other things that you want to do with your career, and fortunately, you know, for me, I'd love to open up a studio. I'd love to do photography. That's really where...
Really? Photography.
Yeah. So no, it doesn't seem glamorous. It doesn't seem like the road to go because, you know, you're in the spotlight on one job and one thing, but really, I'm more comfortable behind a lens.
Well, look at a guy like John Tesh. I mean, he did your gig for many years and then... Uh-oh, we haven't heard from him for 10 years. Wait a minute.
No,
he's doing his own thing. I mean, you know, it's weird. We live in this society where people go, what an idiot. What a buffoon. I can't believe he walked away from this paycheck or this limelight or this whatever. I tend to respect those guys more. They do what they want to do for a little while, and then they go, here's my passion. It's music. It's photography. And that's what I'm going to do next.
Well, I read an article, it was a while ago, about Sting, who said, I did the Police so I could, you know, was in that band so I could eventually do the music I wanted to do. Not that he didn't. That was the music that they were putting out at that time, but he had, obviously, if you look at what he's doing today versus what they did back then,
right.
It's two different catalogs of music, and you do. I mean, you go in and you do the career that's going to look. If I stayed a cameraman behind the scenes, I wouldn't be providing for my family today the way I am now, because there's just a different pay scale involved.
Sure.
And I have a tremendous amount of respect for all the guys that I work with who carry that camera around, because I know how it feels.
I have never met, and Mark, I'm sure you'll back me up on this, I have worked with thousands of camera guys because I've done thousands of field shoots, all the man show shoots, all the stuff I've done over the years. You get a new camera guy every other time. I've never met one I didn't like. They're almost like firemen. They're always big guys. They wear these sort of all-terrain waffle stomper boots. They're super sturdy, and I've never heard one. They all look like Huell Hauser, and I've never heard one complain. And I've worked with guys like Jimmy and I shot stuff in Mardi Gras, where the guy was holding this 45-pound Betacam on his shoulder and walking backwards through a crowd filming us with his free arm behind him trying to feel where he was going. We'll walk around for 10 hours that way. You know, Jimmy and I are like, oh, please, we need to rest, you know. And this guy never complained, never put the camera down. But every cameraman I've always had that has been total salt of the earth. I don't know if they weed the complainers out early or they're just better people.
No, you're absolutely right. And if you're smart, you'll listen to their advice, because they always have a great perspective on things, because they don't get caught up in the above-the-line kind of nonsense and whatnot. They just give it to you straight the way it is. You know, look,
right.
You want to frame this shot, you want to do this, and you're going to look great, versus what we want to put behind you, the sponsorship Coca-Cola sign or whatever, and you're like, yeah, but I look like, you know, crap if you do that. They just have great...
Yes, they're great guys, and super just... They're the kind of guys that if you were going camping and you got lost in the wilderness, that's the guy you'd want with you. Not the field producer, not the makeup artist, the camp, not the publicist, the camera. Although you could eat the publicist, I guess.
They're phony, though. There's not enough fat on the bone.
They're like the fisherman with the tackle box.
Yes.
Have all the
yes.
stuff.
They wear pants with 1,700 pockets in it, and they have 15 Leathermen in them. The only complaint I have about the cameraman is inevitably halfway into the shoot, the battery goes dead in the camera, and everyone's caught off guard. Battery's gone. We need a new battery.
And it's in the van.
Where's the van?
Locked away.
Well, the van. Oh, you mean we need to take a shuttle to get to the van? That's like, I always say, was it a surprise that the battery went dead? It goes dead every shoot. Why not toss it in one of those 5,500 pockets you have in your cargo pants?
Hey, Mark, what are you working on for tonight?
Yeah.
We have, I forgot at this point because I'm into the camera. No, we're following up on more of the strike. Everybody's getting back to work. We've got the Oscar news. What we're excited about is Indiana Jones. I mean, we're showing it tonight, which, now come on, Adam, you got Teresa. This is a film of our generation, you know.
I'm into it.
My kids haven't seen, you know, the originals yet. They're too young, but. I mean, you know, we get to find out what happens in this. You know?
I'm pumped. I don't get that pumped about the next Batman or the next Superman, but Indiana Jones, I'm into.
I wasn't that jacked about Star Wars. I was like, you know, but this is exciting. And rarely things, other than Lindsay Lohan trying to get out of the Santa Monica jail that day,
mm-hmm.
no one has kept this more underground.
I mean, as far as the story. I hear the anorexic twins from Australia are making cameos in it.
They are.
Oh.
But we're billing them only as one person.
Good, by volume.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark Stein is from Entertainment Tonight. And by the way, I'll just tell people to check their local listings. I know when to find it out here in Los Angeles. Mark, we'll talk soon then about my movie.
Yeah, I'll be listening in as always every morning on the way into work.
Thanks, Mark.
Cool. Be well, guys.
Bye.
All right.
I told you I like that guy. He's good people.
He is good people. You get that feeling.
Yeah, and I like the guys. You know, I don't know what the male version of it is. Maybe it's a Ryan Seacrest type. I don't like the pageant queen guys, the guys that took a good look in the mirror somewhere in the sophomore year of high school and decided they wanted to be the guy with the white smile and the spray on tan. I like the guys that wanted to be behind the scenes, that played sports, that had other interests, and then somehow found themselves in front of the camera for the payday.
Yeah.
No one ever wants to talk about that. Look, everybody who's listening, most of your job, and I say most of, not all of, but most of your job is based on pay. That's a big deal. I mean, it's a huge part of your career. It's most of it. I mean, if swinging a hammer paid more than this, I'd be swinging a hammer. I'm not ashamed of it, but it's always sad to me that people don't admit that.
Right.
You know, I was like, I wanted to get into this because when I found out when I was swinging a hammer how much Mark and Brian were getting paid down the street doing morning radio, I was like, holy S, are you kidding me? Jesus Christ, I could do that tomorrow. Thus, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, you can't really say, why do you work in radio? For the money.
Yes, but everyone works in everything for the money. I mean, that's what I assume. And look, 99, well, I'll be generous and say 95% of our population, but 99.9% of the world's population. If you said to them, hey, guess what? You can stay home tomorrow and I'll give you the same pay. And as a matter of fact, for the rest of the week, as a matter of fact, for the rest of your life. Well, the people that worked at the Starbucks, worked at the post office, worked driving the garbage trucks or handing out the meter maid tickets. I mean, the guy taking the tickets the guy bagging at the supermarket, the guy, you don't realize all those people would all stay home immediately.
Of course.
And if I said, hey, you got a job and it'll pay 20 times as much as this job, but you got to show up, then they would do it.
Yeah, although there's an exception. I worked at Houlihan's because I love chicken fingers and tourists, and it was a spiritual journey.
And buttons with witty sayings on them,
yeah,
on your suspenders.
I would have done that for free.
All right, we'll take ourselves a break. We have a full bank of calls. How say you? Any topic you like, 866-901-ADAM. We'll keep that party train rolling. We'll do it next.
You can hassle Adam Carolla. Call 866-901-ADAM. That's 866-901-ADAM. I don't know what you're going to get when you call it, but call it anyway.
Yeah, the Hoff, everybody.
I waited for you, man.
Dawson, grab that. Hey, Frank, 40.
Hey, what's up?
What's Dude. Happening, Frank?
That's an assumed name.
All right. Well, you wanted to discuss the Manson family. As I've said, Tex Watkins has three kids from inside the joint after he did all the Tate and LaBianca murders, which makes me never want to stop vomiting. But go ahead, Frank.
Well, I mean, you just wouldn't believe, working for the California Department of Rejections, you wouldn't believe the rights that inmates have. They have cable TV. If they don't have a TV, we get them one. We have a transgender clinic so that we make sure.
Are you a CO?
No, I'm not.
The guy. Yeah, what do you do, Frank?
Who?
You.
Manson. Oh, what do I do? I'm a nurse.
Oh, you're a nurse.
A prison nurse.
Yeah. Yes.
Ooh.
Ooh. What do you mostly treat? He's gay.
Lacerations.
Shank wounds.
Yeah, that's you. By the way,
internal lacerations,
way,
Adam.
If there were ever a time to do some mercy killing, this would be it. I got to think of the guy's name. Richard Speck.
Richard Speck
went into a college and went into a dorm with nursing students, and he killed six of them. And then the other one sort of hid under the bed the whole time. And then he went to the joint. So he killed six 19 and 20-year-old women who, by the way, I'm sorry, but when I hear, I know this sounds horrible, but I don't give a crap because I'm an atheist. There's a difference between a 19-year-old nursing student and a 50-year-old junkie who's living on the streets. There just is. This person had their whole life ahead of them, and they would have helped many lives along the way, but yet they never realized that dream. Richard Speck went to the joint. Richard Speck, besides doing whole bunches of cocaine from inside the joint, became a woman, started getting on estrogen shots and stuff, grew breasts, became like a sexual partner for many. He basically partied in the joint for about 30 years, and then he died inside the joint. If you were the family of the 19-year-old that was killed by this guy, knowing he's doing blow with guards and inmates and having sex and receiving hormonal therapy to become, I would never stop vomiting.
Right. I'd like to say, though, you don't have to turn into a woman to qualify to have sex in prison.
Yes.
Oh, hey, I'm Frank, fake name Frank.
Yeah.
What goes on Valentine's Day in the joint?
Well, they probably make up a lot of Pruno so that they can do. Do you guys know what Pruno is?
Yeah.
Inmate-made alcohol.
Right.
Yeah, they collect some apples, put it in a bag, and then throw their moldy socks in there so that it'll ferment.
Let's just say Frank's a busy man on Valentine's Day.
My God.
You know what kind of sickens me that I just realized? I think it's good and right that inmates get medical care from the likes of Frank, but think about how many innocent people out of jail do not have medical care.
Oh, yes. The best of medical care, too. Under the new receivership, we have to give them the best of everything.
My best buddy's dad, had bypass surgery in the joint.
Oh, we do heart transplants.
Yeah.
That's row inmates.
That's right. They take them from innocent school children.
Right.
Hey, so Frank.
Charlie Manson's the fun one. When I went to go give him a TB test once, I looked in there and he was hanging from a makeshift hammock that he made out of his sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pulls thread out of all his underwear and then colors them with a pen and makes little spiders and scorpions and fishes it out to the other inmates or the cops, and then they sell it on eBay.
Yeah, somebody should just kill Manson, shouldn't we?
Well, he's actually quite fun. I mean, he's so mentally ill, it's fun. He went to the hospital one time, and one of the nurses went by and said, knocked on his window and said, "Hey, what's your name?" And he goes, "You know me." He said, "What?" He goes, "What's your name?" He goes, "I'm Charlie." He said, "Who?" "Charlie Manson. Never heard of you."
Is Frank, at least you can maintain a healthy sense of humor and distance about this, but you did actually go work on Charlie Manson.
Well, I didn't get to work on him because he thought I was going to poison him with the needle. So,
so he
had to get a really good-looking nurse, and she went back, and he came right down.
He's just completely off his rocker.
Oh, he's totally nuts.
Well, Frank, now, are you up there in the area where Frank, I should say, where Manson is being held?
Yeah, he's in Core 1, and he stays there until he doesn't like the weather, and then they transport him up to Pelican Bay. He's in the protective housing unit with Sirhan Sirhan.
Jesus,
and when he was out on yard one time, they accidentally opened the door to the shoe, and one of the shoe inmates ran in there and grabbed his guitar and beat the hell out of him.
Oh, that's nice. See, we all enjoy that. Even Teresa, who doesn't like the death penalty, loves the idea of a guy giving Manson the El Cabong with a six-string.
I do. I like that.
All right.
Yeah,
Well, I was going to say, thanks for your insights, Frank.
Yeah, what an interesting job. Prison nurse. Dangerous.
I never really even thought about that job. I've thought about prison doctor, but if there's going to be a prison doctor, there's going to be a prison nurse, and the prison nurse is going to see much more than the prison doctor, and it ain't going to be pretty. All right, let's see. Somebody has a question that's intriguing me. Michael?
Yes, hey, what's up, Adam?
What's happening, Michael?
Hey, Teresa.
Hi.
All right, yeah, I wanted to get your opinion on those freeway signs that say when the child's been abducted.
The Amber Alerts.
Yeah, there you go. They called, like this morning, I'm a delivery guy, and I was on the 10 freeway, and the sign was on, and it caused a buttload of traffic.
Yeah, yeah. I give a couple feelings about the Amber Alert. First off, it's the world's worst name for an alert because we already have all the color-related right. alerts for terrorists. Now, it was named after a girl named Amber, but we picked the one girl name that is actually a color,
right.
and then we made an alert out of it, and now it's confusing because we already have these super confusing terrorist color alert. Yeah. Now, if the chick was named Sheila or Joanne, it'd be fine, but it's Amber, so it's kind of weird and confusing. Look, here's my feeling with those freeway signs, especially out here in Southern California. Those freeway signs were put in place for the 1984 Olympics. It has been over 20 years since those freeway signs have been put in place. Has any of them done any good for anybody in any way, shape, or form as far as alleviating traffic? Look, if someone gets abducted, so be it. Put it up on the thing. And if it slows people down, it slows people down. But I have driven past 100,000 of those freeway signs and then found out that the next off-ramp was closed or that the exchange from the 10 to the 110 was closed. And they never lit the goddamn sign up and said that the exchange from the 10 to the 110 was closed. I actually called them once and started screaming at them because, okay, just please. Okay, now I'm angry. I used to work in Culver City, and I used to do a show called Loveline, and that show ended at midnight every night, and I would drive home on the freeways. It was out of the way. It would have been faster just to go up La Brea and go to my house, but because it was 12-something at night, there was nothing on the freeway, Drew and I would just do 80 miles an hour, and we would go from the 10 to the 110 and back onto the Hollywood Freeway. And I'd make a big horseshoe going 5 miles out of my way, but at 80 miles an hour with no stoplights, no problemo. I would drive down the 10 and I would pass two of those big freeway signs, big electronic information signs. And then I would get to the 110 and the ramp would be closed. And I'd have to keep driving and I'd go to gang-infested downtown, whatever, South Central, get off the freeway, take a side street, get back on the freeway. Why not light up the effing sign and say that the effing freeway is under construction? And by the way, don't you know 6 months in advance that that's going to happen, that Caltrans is putting cones out and working? And they did it all the time. It wasn't like there was an accident and they closed the ramp right. down. There was no accident. Caltrans was doing repairs. I imagine that's on a schedule a month in advance. Don't you want to talk to the guy who lights up the sign? No. Nope, not going to talk to that guy. That'll just be blank. Now, if the sign was lit up and said 110 exchange closed, I would have got off on La Brea, turned left, and taken La Brea home instead of going through gang-infested downtown L.A. But they never lit it up, and you'd drive down the 110, and they'd close off the 101, and it was the same thing. Never wrote it on the sign. So I'm not sure why we have those signs, but again, it's one more example of this impotent, retarded government we have here in Los Angeles. It's one more example of them saying we want to get California, we want to get Los Angeles moving, but having little or no interest in it. And by the way, if this was a private company, if this was a company that existed through profits and through participation and consumers, you know they would work at least. You're really telling me that the guys who tear up the freeways can't communicate with the guys who are in charge of writing crap on the effing sign? No, not going to do that. That's why no one...
Interested.
I know we're not interested in it, and I just wish Via Retardo would just admit that he's not interested in it. Maybe he has a deal with the oil companies. Maybe there's some nefarious plan that I'm not aware of. But these guys, and if you were gonna assign them a grade, it would be D minus, possibly F, on their efforts to keep this town moving. I could do 25 minutes on those goddamn signs. I would drive into downtown L.A. at 12:30 at night. night looking at gangbangers out of my effing mind. And then proceed, by the way, to run every single red light on my way back to the freeway thinking, God, I pray a cop pulls me over. Because if a cop pulls me over, I am I will sue the city because of the incompetent retard. And then I called them once and they said, I had my assistant call them. And they said, oh, those two signs haven't worked. But those two signs did work because they would write the amber alerts on them. We're retarded idiots. This city sucks. All right, we're taking a break. T?
Yes.
I could straighten this city out as far as traffic went in a matter of 20 minutes if the coward pussy retards that are supposed to be working for us and doing that would ever get on the phone with me. But of course they won't do that because they can't be fired because it's a monopoly and there's no competition. This is why I love competition.
I like that. CPRs, coward pussy retards.
Oh. I don't know what we're yelling about!
And I don't know why I hate Villaraigosa so much, but I just feel like he's the leader of the coward pussy retard pack. All right, T.
In the news, we're going to talk about Roger Clemens, and also Gary Coleman has a new lady in his life.
She didn't know who I was.
He's dating the Statue of Liberty.
Oh.
So a little size difference there, but, you know, they're going to make it work. Quick break. Back next.
Recap last night's American Idol.
I actually kind of like that, dog.
Get the gay gossip lowdown from Lynn and Alex.
It's always a good time to be gay.
That's why I moved to the city. It's only acceptable here.
Talk to Pussycat Dolls creator Robin Anton.
I can't believe it. I've never been a part of anything like this.
And Oswaldo sings the greatest hits of Heart in a special Valentine's Day edition of Nicaraguan Name That Tune.
Happy Valentine's Day.
We get the news from Teresa Strasser.
You forgot about the part that she's a whore.
Powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today? Call 866-901-ADAM and stream the Adam Carolla Show at AdamCarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live.
Hits. I just heard my mom have an orgasm. She loves that kind of rhetoric.
And now, Adam Carolla.
Well, it's my time, but really it's our time, and more specifically, Teresa Strasser time.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
That makes it tea time.
Oh, yeah. It's nice. It's my tea time. This headline brought to you by our content partners, MSN.com. Actor Henry Winkler, better known for playing the Fonz on the TV show Happy Days, has testified in the civil trial against two doctors accused of medical malpractice in the death of actor John Ritter back in 2003. While Ritter's widow, Amy Yasbeck, wept, Winkler testified that he met Ritter on ABC's 25th anniversary. They became very close friends, often working together. Winkler worked with the late comedian shooting an episode of Eight Simple Rules the day he died. Ritter's family claims the doctors misdiagnosed and caused his death.
Ritter, great guy. Winkler, great guy. And the 25th anniversary, I think I was at that.
You were?
Yes. I'm trying to think because, you know, I don't sweat the details. But I think I was at that event, and I think it was, I don't know why I was at that event, but I ran into Ritter, and he wanted to do dinner, and he was like he's the world's nicest guy. Really, really sad what happened to him.
I know. He was only 54, and the lawsuit is contending that he was treated for a heart attack instead of for the aortic dissection that he had. It seeks $67 million from a radiologist who earlier gave Ritter a body scan and the cardiologist who treated him that day, the day of his death. The trial follows settlements with Providence, St. Joseph Medical Center in Burbank, and other medical personnel that have already paid out about $14 million.
Well, I don't want to burst people's bubble, but anytime I ever spoke to Drew about those body scan things, they sound so great. They sound so, you know, Star Trek-y. You're just going to get this scan go over you, and hey, they're going to go, whoa, we found some cancer, whoa, we found a polyp, or wow, whoa, you got a problem with your valve. They don't do anything, according to Drew.
Well, they do sound too good to be.
Somebody has to drop a digit on your ass in order for them to find anything.
That's all. There's no easier, softer way.
No.
Well, defense attorneys are saying that the doctor was not responsible and that the body scan he had 2 years earlier showed his aorta to be a normal size.
Mm.
So much of Winkler's testimony was about Ritter's devotion to his wife, Amy, who was there in the courtroom. He said, that's Winkler, that they were an incredible team. They were like two sides of a whole. And according to reports...
Two sides of a whole. A whole.
W-H-O-L-E.
Okay.
There are two sides of a whole. You know what?
Yes.
Two halves of a whole would
there
have probably made more sense.
That's better.
But it's Winkler's quote.
Sure.
I'm not here to rewrite.
You're
going to
question the fonts. He'll kick you like that jukebox.
That's right. He didn't have to kick it. Did he just have to look at it?
No, he'd hit it.
He'd hit it, right?
He'd hit it with his hand.
He didn't have to comb his hair.
Right.
He just would look at it.
Yeah, he would start to work on his hair and then realize he couldn't perfect it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ritter told me a nice personal story about... getting busted for cheating on his wife and it being in a, I wouldn't say anything about it except for it was in a book.
What did he say?
We were flying to Tampa or Orlando or one of those horrible places to do some horrible TV show, and he was bummed out because a book just came out because he was with his wife and he stopped seeing his wife. I don't know if you see your wife or not. I like to think of it that way.
Yeah.
He stopped seeing his wife and started seeing Amy Asbeck. And somewhere when he stopped seeing his wife and just started seeing Amy, he ran into another gal at the airport in New York. And as it turns out, that lady wrote a book.
Oh, really?
Yep.
A tell-all?
She wrote a tell-all, and then I believe his wife went back and looked at the book and did the math and said, oh, that's right, you were in New York that month, weren't you? And he got in trouble for that, although it wasn't his wife that saw that. It was his new girlfriend that saw that.
Right.
So he was kind of bummed out about that. And, you know, everyone talks about the perks of being a celebrity. Here's the problem with being a celebrity. You don't get to meet a hot chick at JFK and take her back to the Ramada and have a good weekend with her without somebody writing a book about it. But he was a nice guy, and I don't think he was technically cheating on his wife because he broke up with his wife, and I'm not sure if he was cheating with Amy because they just kind of got together. But either way.
He had remorse.
Never a good time when someone writes a book about what you did about five years earlier with somebody.
Well, not a good time yesterday for Roger Clemens. In his congressional testimony, he denied using steroids or HGH, human growth hormones.
Mm-hmm.
The seven-time Cy Young Award winner said, quote, I did it the right way. I worked my butt off to do it. Clemens contradicted claims by his former trainer, Brian McNamee, that he regularly injected Clemens with steroids and HGH. McNamee said he saved the bloody gauze and syringes to prove it. Clemens attorney Lanny Brewer said told reporters that Clemens fully answered every question that was fired at him.
Let me ask this. Maybe it's just me, and it's maybe the reason I'm kind of I like the Patriot Act, because I don't believe that people will just create things out of whole cloth. I've been on this planet for a good long time, and I've never had anyone really accuse me of something that didn't exist. I've had them misinterpret things. I've had them say, you know, Adam seemed like he was giving me the stink eye when in fact I was just yawning, or being rude when in fact I wasn't paying attention. But I've never heard anyone say, Adam went and did this, and I'm looking at them going, I've never even met you before. I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, anyone listening and anyone in this room, have you ever had an instance where somebody said, then Teresa came into my room, she proceeded to open my wallet, take money out, storm out, and you never, in fact, went into the person's house? Like, do you know what I'm saying? That's why I always think to myself, there must be something there, because this person would be insane. Like, I've had trainers, I've had partners, I've had relationships professionally with people, and I couldn't imagine them manufacturing something that just absolutely never happened.
There's usually a kernel of truth to something.
There's usually something. I'm not saying that people don't stretch the truth.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't imagine the feds showing up at Brian's house and going, we're locking you up and taking you to Guantanamo Bay, and you never had a terrorist thought or conversation in your life.
That hasn't happened for at least a couple of years.
It's been a couple of years? Gee, Papa Lazo, buddy.
What happened?
Sorry, buddy.
Under oath, both Roger Clemens and former personal trainer Brian McNamee stuck to their positions, sometimes under blistering questioning. Here is Brian McNamee in a heated exchange with Congressman Christopher Shays, who represents Connecticut.
I only did what players asked, and it was wrong.
Mr. McNamee, you are a drug dealer. You may, in the end...
That's your opinion.
No, it's not my opinion. You are dealing with drugs.
Okay.
You are dealing with illegal drugs. Tell me, as a police officer, how that isn't not being a drug dealer.
That's your opinion.
No, it's not my opinion. I'm asking you to tell me. Tell me how it's legal to do illegal things and you not call it what you were. You were dealing in drugs, weren't you?
Dealing in them, yes.
Were they legal drugs?
No, they weren't.
Thank you.
That's your opinion. People
That's
answer.
Your opinion.
I'm going to try that next time a cop pulls me over and goes, you were going 70 in a school zone. That's your opinion.
Oh, you know, I like that we discovered at the Playboy Mansion, which is that if somebody says, I'm happy if you're happy.
Yes.
They don't mean it.
No, they do not. Hey, how about this, everybody? I've been yapping about this for now 10 years. How about my functional MRI machine? Wouldn't that solve all this stuff? Dr. Drew went and took one once. You lay a guy down, you hook him up to the MRI machine, and you show him things. You show him pornography, one part of your brain lights up. You show Bald Brian Transformers, another part of his lane. Actually, his groin, his groin lights up. Right.
Tumescence.
It's pretty easy stuff. Okay. I just let me say this. We've learned more about the brain in the last 5 years than we knew in the previous 5,000 years. Agreed?
Yeah.
We have a lot of smart people, not only in this country, but in the world. The truth, if you think about it, we were talking about the death penalty. We were talking about the judicial system. The truth is such an important part of our society. So many things come down to that. Did the person know they were doing this? Did the person accept this? Is this person in Al-Qaeda? Did this guy cheat on that person? Did this person steal from the company? Did they murder this person? The truth. And as a society, it's not satisfying to never know. Geez, did Roger Clemens ever do that? Did OJ really kill this? Did Klaus von Bülow really kill his wife? We never really know. We have pretty good ideas, but I could go ahead and find you 1,000 people that would think the exact opposite of you in every one of these cases. How about a piece of technology, just like a piece of technology that tells you whether you have diabetes or cancer or lymph node problems. You know what I mean? It's another part of your body. It's an organ in your body. It's your brain. It's the most complicated organ. I'm sure it's a lot more complicated than your pancreas is, but either way, it's a part of your body. And we have technology, and this technology is getting better by the day. How about we all just focus on it? How about every scientist on the planet who's involved with this remotely, we all hook up, we daisy chain, we make this device, and 5 or 10 years from now, we have this device. Then it's real easy. Roger, hook it up. Buddy, trainer guy, hook it up. Then we all know, because this goes round and round and round, costs millions of dollars, and when the smoke settles, whether someone's guilty or innocent, we're never satisfied. It's like football before instant replay. Mm-hmm. We never really know if the guy's foot was in bounds or out of bounds. We just taken somebody's word for it, and the guys that are fans of Clemens, because that's their team, will always defend him. And the guys that are fans of the other guys will always defend them. Functional MRI. Let's work on it. 5 years from now, we'll get rid of the court system.
Here's some truth for you. Gary Coleman, no longer a
bachelor. Put him in.
We're just finding out that actor Gary Coleman got married last August. The lucky lady is Shannon Price. She's 22 years old. He's 40.
Lucky.
She's 5'7" to Gary's 4'8". Here, Gary and Shannon explain how they met from The Insider.
I just wanted to be an extra in the movie. He came out and, you know, he told me, he's like, you're too cute to be here. You should go home. And I didn't respond because I didn't know who he was. So I just thought it was sweet because I thought he was a gentleman.
She didn't know who I was. I never thought I'd meet another human being on earth.
Streets of Philadelphia.
Did not know who I was and didn't care.
It's not hard to be with a celebrity.
I'm a lawyer as AIDS.
Yeah. I love when the chick who marries a celebrity explains, nah, you know what? I just thought he was a black dwarf who had no money. Right. So, of course, I'm a hot young chick. Of course, I want to hitch my wagon to his team.
Isn't that the story that Yoko Ono told John Lennon she'd never heard of the Beatles?
Everybody's never heard of anybody. Any celebrity who's ever been married, the chick has never... I don't know why, but my personal favorite is the chick who married Karl Malone, the mailman.
Had no idea he was an NBA guy?
No idea that the only black guy who was 6'9 in Provo, Utah, played for the Jazz. But she said, I was at the mall, and there was a huge line of people, and there was one gentleman who was signing autographs, and they kept saying the mailman is signing autographs, so I thought he was just a postal carrier. There's a letter carrier. Yeah, that's how it works everywhere. We all have 6'9" big black mailmen. My mailman, as a matter of fact, my mail was late on Thursday because my mailman was at the mall signing autographs, because that's how it works. They're heroes.
Mine reverse dunked mine into my mailbox.
That's what mine does. That's right. I had a parcel over Christmas time, and what happened is my gardener set him up an alley-oop. He just went windmill and jammed it right into the mail slot.
It was too bad he could give me a no-look pass, and I thought he was going to be my neighbor. Next thing you know, right off the bat.
Sometimes I see three postmen running a triangle offense toward my mailbox.
Me and my roommates do a box in one, and we try and get them out of the
lane. You try to box them out?
That's right.
Well, what happened with a letter that was very important that came late is they went to the four corners.
Oh.
I met my mailman, my pool man, my gardener. They all went to the four corners, and they killed the clock. Jeez. That was back in the day before we had the shot clock.
Yeah, pretty strategic, though.
He didn't know who the mailman was. And by the way, sweetie, all right, you didn't know who he was 5 seconds into seeing a super long line of adoring fans waiting for a guy that you thought was a letter carrier signing thing, but 5 seconds later, you knew the guy was an NBA star because somebody said to you, that's Karl Malone, super rich, superstar, Utah Jazz, right?
We also know that when people go to sign autographs or do an appearance, there's never anything around notifying who they are. Never any posters or pictures or team representatives.
No, you never see a picture of him in his jersey or a Utah Jazz insignia emblazoned up on some banner somewhere. That's right, sure. Yoko'd never heard of the Beatles. Beatles, small, underground. Nice. I would call them almost a garage band. Indie band.
Skiffle band.
Huge, okay. Huge on the West Coast here, but probably didn't make it over the East Coast.
For my last story, I'm having a small debate. Let me run it by you guys. So this morning, there was a big hubbub that Jane Fonda was on the Today Show talking about the vagina monologues, and she dropped a C word.
Really?
So I was having Mike Chaffee scramble to try and get this audio because it's, you know, we can get the East Coast feed and try to grab it. So I haven't been able to screen it myself, but Brian should have it.
Mm-hmm.
Should we take a risk and take a listen to it? I'm sure it's been bleeped out.
Yeah.
So this is Jane Fonda. I have not heard it yet.
What's happening with the older celebrities cursing on morning shows?
It's an epidemic.
I love it. You know, when you get older, not only do you lose control of your bowels, but you lose control of your mouth as well.
Yeah, I remember my grandfather calling people sea suckers in the car. It's awesome.
Yeah, those Girl Scouts never did recover from that.
Hey, listen, if they run in front of the crosswalk.
Yeah. Right. All right.
Jane, you at first were not a big fan of the play, so what turned you around?
Well, it wasn't that I wasn't a big fan. I hadn't seen the play. I live in Georgia, okay? I was asked to do a monologue called... And I said, I don't think so. I got enough problems.
Well, there you have it.
My favorite part about that is always the nervous laugh from the other people. Okay, yeah.
Meredith Vieira is thinking, I can't believe this. Jane Fonda?
Think Meredith Vieira's ever said or heard that word?
I don't.
She's wholesome.
She is very much so.
But really, Jane Fonda says the C word?
You want to hear it again?
Oh, yes.
Please don't.
Now, and her thing was, I was thinking about doing a monologue called
C-Word.
C-Word.
All right, here it is.
But Jane, you at first were not a big fan of the play, so what turned you around?
Well, it wasn't that I wasn't a big fan. I hadn't seen the play. I live in Georgia, okay? I was asked to do a monologue called And I said, I don't think so. I got enough problems.
She was like making a joke?
Yeah. It's a good joke.
Not bad.
I'm always amazed.
You can't put that on your resume. I starred in C-Word.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news powered by MSN.com. Have you gone to MSN today?
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser.
Barbarella drops a C. We need to take ourselves a break. Hey, good news, kiddies. It's Valentine's Day. How about a little relationship advice? I feel like we got you covered. I did that gig for 10 years. T's been walking the walk and talking the talk. Ah, Mark the Poet has a Valentine's Day poem. Oh, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Adam.
Hey, it was great seeing you in Seattle, Mark.
Hey, it was great to see you, too. Thanks for putting me on your guest list. I appreciate it.
No problemo.
Now you're on his list.
What's happening, Mark? You have a Valentine's Day poem for us?
I do. Word. What a day to celebrate love. We're all one, no need to pout. With boxes of chocolates and a handful of roses and a bit of the old in and out. In the restaurant or at the home, taking a walk or on bended knee. The diamond of clear perception is our emotions shown openly. Had enough of this romantic crap of sweets and cards and amorous yearning? Say it's cheaper to get a hooker? Sadly, it won't be. Your heart is burning. The difference between cheap malt liquor and wine. Booty-shaped heart? Know what I mean? May we each realize our Valentine and wishing mine to be Kelly Green.
Who's Kelly?
This
Kelly Green
poem.
The color? Or
yeah,
Kelly
or the
Green
person?
The, you know a person named Kelly Green?
Yeah, amazingly enough.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that. That's Irish nice. Porn star, Kelly Green. Hey, Mark the Poet?
Yes, sir.
Nice job.
Thank you. Many blessings, and may you all have a great Valentine's Day.
You too, Mark.
Thank you, Mark the Poet. All right. Your questions, our advice. Is it a Valentine's Day question? Is it a relationship question? Do you want to stay with, break up? Are you looking to meet people? What do you need to know? 866-901-ADAM. Relationship advice next.
Valentine's Day. Back to the Adam Carolla Show. It is Valentine's Day. So Ace and Teresa are dishing out some free love advice. So call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. All right, your relationship questions. 866-901-ADAM. T?
Yeah.
You're giddy.
I'm so giddy. Valentine's Day, I woke up. There were balloons in every room, in the
marriage.
Bathroom, in the closet.
Mm-hmm. Marriage is what brings us together today.
So you think today may be the big day?
There's a small chance. Of course I don't want to jinx it.
Too
as
late.
As we were just talking about.
Too
but
late.
It's too late. I know. I won't be disappointed if it's not
tomorrow. Tomorrow is Heap of Tears Friday.
Normally, Teresa's not funny on the show, but that was some
funniest
good stuff, sweetie. Wow, man. Hey, man, I take everything I thought about you back. That was truly funny stuff.
I've banned him from listening.
What's on the docket for tonight?
Okay, so, well, this is the thing that made me think maybe tonight, you know, mm-hmm. Esta noche.
Big question, yeah.
Because
who's
he
having butt sex?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I actually thought about giving that as a gift this year because he's very hard to shop for. Well, you know, we met at that restaurant Dominic's over on 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the OG Dominic's has a little one called Little Dom's. So
mm-hmm.
this is the restaurant where we met.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't asked me what I want. That's unusual because normally he'd ask me what I want, try to get me something I like. Hasn't asked me anything. And then a couple days ago, I said, oh, what do you want to do on Thursday night? Already have reservations for 6 at Little Dom's.
6.
I have to eat really early because I go to bed at 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, reservations
6 p.m.
At 6.
Yes, at 6 p.m.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So
okay.
Reservations, he thought about it pretty far in advance, and it's kind of the place we met.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Look at
place you met is, you know, in terms of if I'm sitting around trying to figure out whether he pops the question tonight or not, place you met a little more than a push, but not much more than a push.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows that's a place you like to go. It's romantic. And the place you met. And I'm trying to think of what percentage of engagements are made at places you met.
So you're right. It's a push.
They're pretty low, but a little more than a push. Couldn't hurt. But the fact that there was no talk of what you wanted. On the other hand, do you talk to the person you're going to get a gift for? Like, hey, do you want some flowers? Do you want chocolate? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. You're right. He might have just freestyled and gotten me something he thought I would like.
Still, this is promising. But again, you're feeling confident.
I'm squirmy. I'm
pretty excited.
Yeah.
Will you cry if he pops the question?
I'm pretty sure I will, but I don't know. I don't know how I'll react. Everyone says it's not what you think. And one woman said to me the other day, you have this weird feeling that, like, you're a woman. Like, the time of being a girl is over. And at 29, that's probably
that's
how
I right. It's time to become a woman. Christina?
Yes.
What's your question?
Well, it's Valentine's Day, obviously, and my husband has something extremely extravagant plan for us tomorrow night, and I don't have a present for him. And I was thinking, since I don't give him BJ all the time, I could give him that for Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, rare occurrence.
How often? Yeah. How rare is it?
Well, it's. I mean, I give him booty every night. I just don't do that. It chokes me. It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have some kind of bad experience with it?
No, not really. It's just, I feel like if he did his deed more often, I'd probably do it. So I think it's unfair. I mean, you know, truthfully, I probably do it all the time, but because he thinks I'm obliged to do it, that I don't do it.
Wow.
You know what I'm talking about, Teresa?
Yeah.
You understand.
You guys
sound
like a delightful couple.
I think this relationship is in big trouble.
No, it's not. We have two kids and we do it every night, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, but it's weird that you
by
do it.
By it, resent each other?
Whatever.
He tosses Teresa. A grudge F her way almost every night. It's strange that you guys are that intimate that often, yet there's some unspoken and some baggage.
There's like quid pro quo. I'm not going to do it because he doesn't do it.
You guys are like a comedy team that hates each other, but yet has you do 13 shows a week, you do two shows on Sunday, and you do a matinee on Saturday, but you can't stand each other's
right,
guts.
Like Lucy and Ethel.
Yes.
They hated each other.
Well, do you understand what I'm saying, though? He doesn't do it either, so I ask him to do it, and he doesn't do it.
Well, why doesn't he do it?
I don't know.
Oh, Christina.
I'm wondering.
I think nothing can stop.
We got to take some bets here. Where did Christina go to finishing school? You say Geneva? I'm going
either
with Geneva.
Either Geneva or there, you know, could have been one of those schools in Connecticut.
Married to two kids at 25, no oral sex.
Christina, where did you go to finishing school, sweetie?
I went to finishing school in the streets.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So Christina dropped an F-bomb, I believe we had to be proud
an F-bomb,
for.
I'm sorry, yeah.
All right, well,
okay.
Look, I hate to say
Jane
it.
Jane Fonda did it.
I hate to
exactly.
say it, but, you know, for the fellas going down there, it's a bigger commitment. It is. There's more involved.
Well, no, not really. I mean, if you're satisfying your wife, I mean, that should be the ultimate gift, you know?
Yeah, it should be done. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to go ahead and say this. Minus if you eliminate the finishing part of the oral experience. Oh, wait, are we allowed to? Do we get beat down again?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go ahead and call that an 8, and I'm going to call your guys a 5. Well, I'm saying there's more to it. You guys are eating a corn dog. For us, it's a pie eating contest.
I got to agree. There is more to it. But what if it was a ratio, you know, like 3-1?
I got a hunch. Is she a natural childbirth or a cesarean? Because if she popped out two kids, I'm wondering if he's the kind of guy that would be married to two kids at 25 might be freaked out by
that the kids
cesarean.
Came out.
Cesarean. All right. Hey, Christina.
Yeah.
Here's what happens. Eventually, it becomes like any good standoff, much like what goes on in the Middle East. The Palestinians say, you guys started it. The Israelis say, you guys started it. Eventually, nobody knows who started it. That's right.
I'm brokering the peace.
Look at this.
Yeah.
His penis is a Palestinian and your vagina is Israeli. We need to get you guys together over at Camp David, or at least Camp Snoopy, and figure this thing out. Now, look, here's the problem. The problem is no one knows where it began, and no one knows where it's ever going to end. I say you offer it up to your husband tonight and see if he returns the favor.
I agree.
And if he doesn't return the favor, then you can bring it up to him. But at least hold the olive branch out to his penis.
I think that's a good idea. It's just...
All right. And by the way, when did the owl... You know what I mean? If I was in an argument with someone and they said, you know what? Good news. I'm going to give you an olive branch. I'd be like, what the F am I supposed to do with that stick?
Or what about a dove? Thanks.
Great. Great. I have a glorified pigeon who's carrying a stick. How about some fruits or something like that? You know, something I can, how about some carnauba wax? Something for the van.
Something useful.
Let's see. Broke as hell. Wants to get his girlfriend something on a budget. Hey, Brandon?
Yeah?
You're broke and it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah, man. Weather's been killing me. I do road construction. No money.
Mm-hmm. Where are you calling from?
Orange County.
Uh-huh. And it's rained some, but not that much, has it?
There was about a week straight of rain that just canceled our jobs. And if it rains, you know, there's like 3 or 4 days afterwards we can't work.
All right. But you love your girlfriend.
Yes, very much so.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's not about money spent. It's about effort. The picnic.
Okay.
The picnic does not cost anything, yet will pay great dividends in the effort department. How about a picnic? And fellas, I mean, I have no plans of doing this myself, but I can tell you, listen, look at me as a basketball coach in a wheelchair.
Right. You can't play, but you knew the game.
Oh. I'm telling you how to play the game. I'm just confined to a wheelchair. I can't get out on the court and do it myself. Picnics, baby. You go ahead, you go down to Trader Joe's, or you go to one of those markets that has the cheeses and has the bottles of wine, and you do all that kind of stuff. You pack it up yourself. It's going to set you back $25. I mean, seriously, if you go to one of those, like I said, if you go to one of those Trader Joe's places, you get the cheese, you get those funky crackers that come from Europe, you get the little mustard thing, you get a $6 bottle of wine. You're set. You take her up to some park, you go down to Malibu, you go down PCH, you spread out a blanket, and you have a picnic. Nothing a chick likes more than that. Quality time. You don't have to pay for jewelry. You don't have to pay for flowers. You don't have to do anything. And as far as the spot goes, he's calling from Los Angeles. Plenty of places up and down the coast. Plenty. You got Will Rogers Park up there, the beach areas, all that stuff. Spread the blanket out. Have the picnic. Tea?
Yeah, I'd love it. And Brandon, does she have a favorite candy, Twix, M&M, something like that?
Dark chocolate.
Get her exact favorite candy and put it in the picnic basket. She's going to love it and maybe throw in like a mix CD that you made for her.
Hey, Brandon?
Yes?
I don't want to burst your bubble, but she meant she digs black dudes.
What?
I'm just saying. When you go, what do you like?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington.
I like dark chocolate.
You mean like a special dark Hershey?
No.
Sort of.
Dark chocolate. All right. Art.
Yeah.
21 from Fresno. What's the question?
Actually, you know what? There's this girl I've been seeing. And, you know, I guess she had a previous boyfriend who went off to the military. And she's been hung up on him. But I've been seeing her for about 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
We have a good time and everything, but, like, I feel like we should have more commitment, but she doesn't want to go there, so want to know if we should, or I should break it off, or still just have fun.
She's committed to the guy who's over in Iraq somewhere?
I don't know what she, you know, what her deal is, but I know that she kind of still has some kind of submerged feelings for him.
Okay, let me put you on hold for a second because your line's breaking up. But let's all think about this realistically for a second. We've all been in relationships, or at least halfway into relationships in the past, back in the early days, with people that were sort of somewhat committed, willing to go out with you, but their heart wasn't really in it. Maybe they were seeing somebody else. Maybe they were just half into you. Oftentimes, they had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, they broke up, or somebody broke up with somebody, but they were trying to rekindle that, and in the meantime, you know, look, a lot of people treat relationships like transportation. You need a ride. Your dream car, you might not be able to afford yet, so you'll go ahead and drive around that Civic until you can get that dream car. Or when your car goes into the shop, you still got to drive something around that week. It's almost, for a lot of people, it's really like eating or transportation. You don't get to go to your favorite restaurant. You don't get to drive your favorite car, but you must have wheels. I never really was that way, but I know a lot of people that are, and there's especially a lot of women that are that way. And if you're attractive and if you're young, you can always get a rental car. There'll always be a guy who likes you at work, who you know can take you out on the weekends until the Corvette comes back from the body shop. In my experience, you guys tell me about yours. Did it ever work out? Did they ever turn the corner? Did they ever realize 2 months into that sort of half-hearted lackluster, I'll date you, oh, wait a minute, something better came up, but I guess we could go out next weekday when nothing's going on. Did that ever work out? Did they ever go like, hey, you know what? I'm magically in love with you now.
Never.
It never worked out.
No.
They were just sort of half in it, and you were trying to get them from half in it to whole in it, and the harder you tried to get them from half to whole, they went to quarter and then to eighth, right?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any future in this. I'm starting to think the longer I'm on this planet, people pretty much know. They know, and you know, and when you meet... Now, movies are filled with crap, and they never explore this. As a matter of fact, they send a dangerous message. Oh, we hated each other. Everybody hates each other. According to Hollywood, whenever you meet someone, we hate each other. And then somehow it works out, and somehow Tom Hanks gets what's-her-name to like her. It doesn't work that way in real life. If she's sort of not really into you... She ain't into you, and she's never really going to be fully into you. And as a matter of fact, the only way to ever really get her into you is for you just to pack up.
That's true.
All right. So that's what it is. No Valentine's for her this year.
Well,
screw it.
It depends if Art
she gets
also...
coal in her stocking.
Well, he may also just be looking for a warm body or a Taurus or whatever you want to call it.
He wants to be with her more than she wants to be with him. Yes, Art?
Well, yeah, I mean...
All right, he's honest. We need to take ourselves a break.
Sad. Well, I've been there.
Everybody has been there. It never changes.
No.
It's not about you. It's somehow they've decided early that you're not the one, and that's it.
And Art's just throwing good after bad.
And it's really, is there anything different in life? I mean, really, like you walk in a room and you look at the wallpaper and you go, I don't like it. If I get you to stare at the wallpaper for another 3 weeks, you go, you know what? I now love this wallpaper. Or do you go, I like it less than I did the first time I saw it.
You think my other wallpaper is overseas.
Right. All right. We'll take a break. We got more of your questions on a Valentine's Day to answer. Let's see. Married but wants a threesome? That sounds good. Got a nice cougar question for a young buck. And let's see. Someone is desperate for a man.
I have some input on that.
We will... lucky I was sitting down, T. We will talk to Elizabeth. Desperate for a man. Maybe we can help set her up. We'll do all that next.
A perfect Valentine's Day gift.
I am the guy of the healthy fire. I'm bringing you
the best of Nicaraguan Name That Tune with Oswaldo Castillo.
A Mother Day warrior, Ming Ming Pride. Today, Tom Sawyer, Ming Ming Pride.
Singing the hits of Rush. Ozzy sings the Grateful Dead.
Driving a train, high in cocaine. Casey Jones, you better watch your speed.
Grab your train.
The Police.
Oh, can you see? You belong to me. Oh, my poor heritage. We every stay you take.
Even Pink Floyd.
Okay. Here's a little pink prick. There'll be no more. Oh!
Ozzy does Ozzy.
I am Iron Man.
The best of Nicaraguan Name That Tune with Oswaldo Castillo.
Hello, my kindness, see or in he blind.
And of course, Leonard Skinner.
Pull it up.
Order now and you'll get Oswaldo's tribute to the 80s, featuring Warrant.
She's my cherry pie, cold drink, water, social, sweet surprise. Whoa.
And
whoa.
Bon Jovi.
Whoa.
Best of Nicaraguan Name That Tune. Get it now on Hobo Power Records.
Good times. Nice job, Dawson. All right. It's Valentine's Day. We're dispensing the relationship advice. Richard Branson, the entrepreneur, the explorer. Richard Branson is going to be up next. But when we left off, a couple of things. I want to get Elizabeth set up with a man. I want to find out about Dave and his threesome. First, Elizabeth. Elizabeth?
Yes, hi. Happy Valentine's Day.
You too.
What's happening, baby? Are you single?
I'm single, yeah. I live in the Sacramento area, and I'm a mom of three, and I need a man.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been single?
A couple years now.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like your kids are holding you back a little bit?
Oh, yeah. You know, I spend most of my time with them, and it's hard to make some time for yourself.
Right. What do you do?
I'm an office manager at an adoption agency, which is just full of women. So, again, right. It's, you know, not a good place for meeting men.
Right. And would you describe yourself as attractive?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm have a blonde bob. I'm in good shape. I used to teach aerobics, so I'm physically fit and healthy. And, yeah, I would.
I feel like in this day and age of computers and internets and all those dating sites and everything, there's just, with all the communication that's going on, there's almost no excuse for being single anymore. Have you tried that route?
I have, and actually that's one of the reasons I was calling. I have a Match.com account, mm-hmm. and it is so boring. I'm in such a slump, I don't even know how to spice it up, and I thought maybe you could help me.
Well, now how do you spice up that account?
I don't know. I need the Adam Carolla certification. That would catch a man's eye, huh?
Yeah, I'll lend my name to your MySpace or Match.com account. Well, what's on it now? Can you read us the description
do you
of
have
it?
Have your profile up?
Do you want to bring up my profile?
I thought I just brought it up. I mean, conversationally, at least. Do you have it in front of you?
I do not. Have no, I'm in the car on my cell phone.
Have you committed it to memory?
Yeah, it's pretty boring. Well, really and truly, actually, I was listening to the station that you guys are on a few weeks ago, and one of my favorite songs in the world came on, and so I had to reference that and see if anyone wanted to go to a concert with me coming up, and I've gotten no hits at
what
all.
What song?
Man either.
Lick
Fat
it up,
Bottom
Eric.
Girls. yeah, what's your favorite song?
Well, it's called Lump by President of the United States of America.
Sure.
And they're going to be here, hopefully, in March.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember having a argument with young Jimmy Kimmel about 10 years ago when the presidents of the United States of America were a big band, and he said, they will be the next Beatles. And I said, no, they will not. And I think I may have won that one. Nice guys, by the way.
Well, you're lucky you've gotten to meet them. They seem awesome. I love their lyrics.
Yeah, I do too, and they're fun. And so you're going to see them out in Sacramento next week or this week?
Orangevale in March.
Hmm.
Are you
going
to go with some girlfriends?
I don't know. I was hoping I'd, you know, some guy would ask out for a date, but no one's asked.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we let you give out your singles? What's your account? Your Match?
Match.com
account, but also we should figure out ways to spice it up. I've never really thought about it because I never use a computer for dating. I only use it for pornography, which God meant the computer for,
right.
Not for this filthy dating stuff. But either way, I like to watch other people who are consummating their relationships on my computer, not actually meet people myself. But
right.
T, if you're looking, or maybe more importantly, if me and Brian are looking at it, what are we looking for?
Well, I've never online dated, although I know of at least one guy who professionally punches up people's dating profiles. That's
mm-hmm.
his job.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
There are people who do that.
Wow. And
so
they
can punch it up for you, and yours is just some basic stuff, talking about where you work, what kind of music you like, hobbies, and that kind of stuff.
Boring, yeah. And some of them, you know, they're just so sleazy, and I don't want to go the sleazy route. You know, I'd like to meet a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fine line there.
Do you mention the three kids?
Yes.
Right. She's got to.
Look, I hate to say it.
She's got to.
But how about you do something like this? And maybe this isn't fair. Maybe you're going to attract the wrong guy. But you go like, I have two sons, Seth, 12, Nathan, who's 13, and then there's Isabella. She's 19. She's in Europe modeling right now, but she should be back.
Use the daughter as a lure. That's a great idea.
Use your teenage, adult teenage daughter as a nice, yes.
Elizabeth,
you know what I mean?
That's a decent idea.
Thank you.
Can I ask you this? Do you feel like your girlfriends who are in couples are constantly telling you why you're single and what you should be doing, what's wrong with your dating profile, et cetera?
No, I actually don't. I find more that, you know, you're just kind of excluded because, you know, everyone's a couple, and so you're just kind of excluded from stuff altogether.
All those yentas you work with can't set you up with one guy?
You know, like I said, everyone's married, everyone's doing their own thing, or everyone has kids and they're busy. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, hang on a second. Let me say this as a guy. If a guy is reading, most guys are reading the singles, MySpace, whatever. I think what they're going to want to hear is the person's attractive.
Right. They're going to look at the picture mainly.
All right. They're going to be looking at the picture, number one. Number two, they're not going to... interesting, actually, something I learned watching that chick who sets people up or whatever the hell show that is on Bravo.
Millionaire Matchmaker.
Don't put a headshot in there. People think you're fat
if you put a headshot
in there. Put a three-quarter shot in there. Elizabeth?
Yes.
Do you have a three-quarter shot in there?
Actually, I do. Yeah.
Okay, so people can see you have a nice body.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. The second thing is, don't do any... here's what guys want to hear, I think. Guys want to, A, they're going to see what you look like. Are you attractive? B, do you seem like you're fun without being desperate? You know, you have three kids. We're scared of commitment. We're scared that we're just going to stumble into your web, and the next thing you know, we're going to be the stepdad to a bunch of monsters. How about saying, you know, just looking for fun, looking for a good time, looking to go to concerts, looking to go out to eat, that kind of stuff.
How about you go for a niche? You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll increase your chances. If you're just sort of bland, I like doing walks on the beach, I like doing picnics, you'll attract, you know, sort of whatever, not that many people,
but
a niche.
I dig that. Attention Filipino lepers.
Yes. If I want someone to watch Transformers with, you know what I'm saying?
Elizabeth might have an easier time just meeting people if in her day-to-day life she exposes herself to places where there are guys, whether it be the grocery store or the bookstore.
Go to a Kings game. She's in Sacramento.
Kings game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you let it slide about the kids.
Elizabeth, maybe you take the kids off the site. I don't know. I don't know what... I really don't know what protocol is, but good picture meets good time.
Yeah.
And I don't see any guy that can turn that down.
You know,
but I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and spit out your site and we'll see if we can send a little traffic your way.
Okay, it's Kickin Kitten, and that's KickinKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKittenKitten
say? They say girlish sounding screen names get more hits on dating sites.
All right. Dave over here. Let's see. Yeah. Like, you don't want, fart and manity.
Right. That or seems unattractive.
Something like that. Hey, Dave?
Yeah.
You, you're married, but you want a threesome?
Yeah, actually. Today is, my anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
So you got married on Valentine's Day, and, you've been married for 1 year?
Yeah, I was with her for about 3 years before that,
mm-hmm.
and it's just that, I was thinking, you know, it's something different, you know, something to try, and
then I
heard you on here, yeah, and I've heard you on here before talk about it, and, you know, I guess it could be good or bad.
Well, look, I'll tell you what a threesome is. It's destabilizing. That's the problem. And here's the problem. And it's one of these things, too, as far as the threesome goes. It's hard to tell because if you're a clinician and you're trying to figure out if threesomes screw up relationships, you'd have to argue that people that want threesomes in a weird way are sort of asking right. out of the relationship.
It's a self-selected group. And that group is already in trouble.
If you're in college and you have a girlfriend and she's bisexual and you guys are doing drugs, knock yourself out. But if you get married, I think that's the time you commit to the person you're married to. And especially if you have kids or you're going to have kids.
Yeah, we've got kids. We've had previous marriages. And that's what I'm saying is, she's had experience with this in the past, mm-hmm. whereas I haven't. And then it's like, you know, once I heard that, then it's kind of like, okay, you know.
Yeah, you feel like you want to even the score. On the other hand, you know, she's never taken a leak on her neighbor's shrub when she was drunk, and you've done that in the past. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things you've done that she's probably never been with a prostitute in Tijuana. Well, there you go. You see, so you're even now. All I'm saying is, Dave, I don't want to seem uptight. I'm a fun-loving atheist. Have all the threesomes you want. Do all the swinging you want. Do whatever you want and perform whatever consensual crime you want to perform. But when you have kids, you now have victims. It's no longer a consensual crime. It's no longer just you know, consenting adults having a good time. They're kids, and the kids become victims. And people go, oh, why? We're not going to tell them. Oh, wow. Then no. Swinging mommy and daddy means crappy mommy and daddy. Don't do it. You have kids. We need to take a break. Why? The ultimate swinger, Richard Branson, who's hot for Teresa Strasser, is on the blower. We'll speak to him about his latest ventures next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to talk to billionaire philanthropist Richard Branson on the Adam Carolla Show.
This is a man I thoroughly enjoy. Richard?
Hello, Adam. How are you doing?
Great to speak to you and your favorite, Teresa Strasser, here.
Well, I didn't really ring to talk to you. It's Valentine's Day, so I thought I'd give Teresa a ring.
Oh, thank you, Richard. Teresa? I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm extremely good. So when are we going to do our flight together on Virgin America?
Well, where are we going, Richard?
Well, darling, where would you, since it's Valentine's Day, I think it should be your choice. We go, Virgin America flies to New York, and then from New York we could go on Virgin Atlantic to anywhere in the world, really, because we fly most places in the world.
How about your private island?
Adam, I'm not talking to you.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
your island does sound nice. Where is that?
The island. Okay, yeah. Well, Necker Island sounds perfect. So anyway, we'll send you over a car, and leave Adam to run the show, and we'll jump on the plane. That'd be great.
Richard, I have a great piece of news for you, though, that you're going to want to hear, because I have a wonderful idea for your airline.
Do we listen to him, Teresa?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll listen. That's
Thank
good.
You, sweetie.
I'll see you.
Now, Richard, I love Virgin, but I don't fly it very often because until recently there weren't a whole lot of routes in the U.S. You'd have to fly over the pond. Now we have all these new routes in the U.S. and I will start utilizing your airline. But here's a suggestion for you. I fly first class all the time, and they always do that thing where first class passengers get to board the plane first, and then you sit there for 25 minutes while every single other person gets onto the plane, banging you with their luggage and giving you the stink eyes they walk past you. How about you get to get on the plane last, right before the plane takes off? And I would argue if there was a bus ride and you had a ticket that cost 10 times more than everyone else on the bus, would you get on the bus first, or would you wait until the bus was completely loaded and then get on the bus?
Adam, I can see why I have to talk to you sometimes as well as Teresa.
You see how it is, Richard?
Absolutely, utterly brilliant idea. And if you ever board a Virgin plane, we'll make absolutely certain you're the last person on board.
The door
will slam behind you as you walk on.
I'd actually like the plane to be moving before I jump onto the plane.
Since it's Valentine's Day, and actually I shouldn't really be chatting trees up since my wife's sitting next to me. but I will tell a nice Valentine's story, darling. It's true. Anyway, many years ago, my wife got on a. I got on a plane, and we'd only just been together for about 6 months. And the plane started to take off, and I decided I didn't want to leave her, so I stopped the plane and got up and refused to sit down until they stopped the plane.
That is so romantic.
The plane again. So how's that for a Valentine's?
It's great.
You got competition, Teresa.
I know. Well, was it one of your planes?
Yeah, it was his private jet.
No, it wasn't one of our planes. No, it was. This was way before I got any money to that. I was 23 years old, 24 years old.
Wow. Absolutely amazing. Hey, so
are you looking for great Valentine's stories today? Have you got your viewers all ringing in? Do I win a prize for that one?
That really is romantic. You just said, stop this plane. I can't bear to be without my girl.
Well, that's what I said, and they were actually all right. They didn't. Nobody arrested me. So,
and by
the way, people shouldn't get ideas if they're flying virgin, because we actually like
that was a different time.
Take off on time. But
so you guys are going now to San Diego. You go to San Francisco. You go to Las Vegas. Are you going to Vegas out of Burbank yet?
I don't think we are yet, but again, I'm making a list of all your requests, and we'll definitely
well,
go to Burbank.
Can I say this? A lot of folks fly from Burbank to Vegas. A lot of folks would like to fly a nicer airline than Southwest Airline, but there are no nicer airlines going from Burbank to Vegas. So that would be a great place for Virgin to be.
Okay, this Virgin will now look into it immediately and try to sort it out. So, but Burbank to Las Vegas, we'll try to get it sorted as soon as possible.
First class boards last, Burbank to Vegas. And one other thing that I've long been saying airlines should have, a sleeping channel. You know, you have your music channels, your jazz channels, and your country channels. How about a channel specifically for people who want to sleep? Just a babbling brook or a nice symphonic music?
Well, with respect, that's what most other airlines in America offer, is absolute boredom, and therefore people, although the seats are uncomfortable, at least they sleep. But so if you want to if you want a sleeping channel, fly American, Delta, Continental.
But if you want a party, you go Virgin.
If you want a fun flight, you have to fly Virgin.
What are some of the features on a short hop, like, you know, to Vegas or San Diego or San Francisco?
We have, first of all, brand new planes, which is always good news if you're flying in the air. I think you had a rest in America. You say you've got the most attractive crew, but we definitely got the most attractive, fun crew. Who will actually smile and give you a good time when you're on board.
Very important.
We've got a great entertainment system with, you know, tons of choice of films and lots of great music channels and so on. Obviously, we've got television on board. We've got internet. If you want to chat up the person in the seat at the last seat in the plane, you can send them a message on the screen and see if they want to respond.
Interesting.
We can marry you on the plane. I've actually married some of our passengers.
Really?
Not quite sure you can have babies on our plane yet, but you never know.
Hey, Richard, what's next for you? I mean, I know you're a guy who likes a challenge, and you're running Virgin Airline right now, and that's a challenge. But as far as the adventurer side of you, any more balloon races, any world records to topple? What's next in that department?
I mean, the most exciting thing, which, you know, I think we talked about before, is our space travel, and we're about 18 months away now from going into space with Virgin Galactic Airways.
Well, Richard, Adam would like to board the space shuttle last.
That's my feeling.
Well, if he boards last, we just make sure he gets on. So somebody will push him on before the door closes.
So a lot of that had to do with the X Prize, right?
Exactly.
And you guys and Dick, what the hell is this?
Dick's brother, Bert Rattan.
Oh, Bert Rattan, that's right. Bert Rattan and yourself got together. You won the X Prize probably about 3-4 years ago now.
That's right.
Everyone has been talking about commercial air space travel. Initially, they thought it would be much more expensive than it is. It's still expensive, but relatively expensive, but cheaper than they thought it would be. What would it cost at this point, 18 months from now, if somebody, a citizen, wanted to go into space? And then what do you think it'll cost 10 years from now for a citizen to go into space?
Well, it'll cost $200,000 18 months from now. And 10 years from now, I think we'll be able to get the price down quite considerably. My guess is we'll get it down to under $50,000. So still, it's never going to be,
you know, it's never going to be that cheap, but it's a third mortgage sort of price anyway.
And Richard, is there a practical application for this besides saying you went to space? I know there's a lot of jets on the horizon that I don't know if they're going to build or not that get up into the stratosphere and get up into space and thus cover ground much more quickly than they would in our Earth's atmosphere. Is there a part of you that's keeping an eye on the practical side of this venture?
Very much so. I mean, the first of all, we're almost completely benign environmentally. So unlike a NASA spaceship, which uses up a lot of power, we've managed to work it so that nobody need feel guilty about going to space. And the second thing is that what we're hoping to do is for our engineers, once we've done the suborbital flights, is then to work on moving you from sort of LA to Australia in half an hour, and that sounds impossible, but because we can get you to fly up to 6,000 miles an hour just out of the Earth's atmosphere, we think it should be possible, and that'll be the next thing that we'll be working on.
Well, I'm a little bit of an aviation buff, and I know that the time it takes you to get from LA to New York or New York to London is about the same time it's been for the last 45 years. I mean, in the 60s, it took you as long to get from JFK to LAX as it does in 08, which to me doesn't sound like great progress. And I think the airlines have decided, look, we should make money by putting more people on bigger planes, not putting less people on faster planes. But I do feel like that is going to change coming up, and maybe you'll be on the vanguard of that change.
Yeah, but I mean, it's very strange that we had that wonderful technology of Concorde, and then that just disappeared, and so effectively mankind's gone backwards. And I think Virgin Galactic can leap us forward again, and we can have effectively a version of Concorde that is three times as fast, and going out of the Earth's atmosphere, so hopefully in our lifetime we'll be able to fly on such a plane.
Well, it seems like if your space travel is going to be something that we realize in a short 18 months, that this kind of flight, this kind of commercial flight, shouldn't be more than 10 or 15 years away. Is there a huge obstacle?
No, I mean the only obstacle we've overcome the obstacle for suborbital flights and bringing people safely back into the Earth's atmosphere by turning the whole spaceship into a giant shuttlecock. Mm-hmm. If we're going out of the Earth's atmosphere and then popping people back in again, we've still got to deal with that issue. What we can't afford to do is lose 3% of our passengers, as NASA
right.
Does.
So, bad for business.
Yes.
So we got to guarantee people a return ticket.
Richard, before we let you go, I have to ask. I know your wife's nearby and you probably don't want her to hear, but what are your Valentine's Day plans?
Speaking code.
Well, Teresa, I have actually given her a lovely rose, which she's holding onto at the moment. Anyway, look, I will see you on the island.
That's her Valentine's plan. Oh, Richard, next time you're in Los Angeles, please come in, because I have so many questions about this commercial air travel. And it's so fascinating to me that potentially we could get to New York in 20 minutes or half an hour, get to Australia in half an hour. To me, that is the breakthrough. That's the really interesting part of this whole endeavor. And going to space, God love you. And this is why I love the entrepreneurial spirit, because if you leave it up to NASA, they spend billions of dollars and blow up a bunch of shuttles. You give it to a guy like Branson and Burt Rattan, and next thing you know, you're up in space.
Yeah, for $50,000.
That's right. Richard?
I like you after all, Adam. I'm sorry, Teresa. You said some nice things there. We're going to have to we'll share that conversation.
I'm coming to the island, too. Maybe I'll just hold a towel while you ravage Teresa Strasser. Thank you, Richard Branson. Right.
Thank you.
Virgin America going to San Diego. Routes opening today in San Francisco and L.A. and Vegas, New York, Washington, D.C. I just love that. I love that spirit. I really do. You know, here's my fantasy.
Yeah.
My fantasy is about, you know, a couple of years from now when the space travel stuff becomes, you know, pretty viable and almost commonplace. There's a shuttle and everyone's just sitting and Tyra Banks climbs onto it and she's like, Joey Buttafuoco.
Oh no.
Wait
a second. I think I see where you're going.
Charles Manson, hold on. You're supposed, oh Christ, no. Everyone just looks at each other and realizes, Al Sharpton, what are you doing? Oh, dear God, no.
They told me it was just a free trip.
a free trip, yeah. It's one of those things where I use a calligrapher.
Yeah.
And he does it on parchment paper. And it's like, you've been invited.
Yeah.
You've been invited for a free shuttle. And I just figure out
the ultimate sting.
It'd be like, dude, what are you doing? I'm the guy who buys the police motorcycle at auction and the police helmet and then wears a black leather jacket and drives around the freeway at 52 miles an hour. Just, what are you doing on the...
Yeah, and hey,
next, you know, it's just lift off.
That looks like Shirley Phelps Roper. Danny?
Jack Silver, who's going to run off?
No.
Yes.
That'd be a big
point. Oh. Wouldn't that be a great? Just the look on everyone's face as that baby took off.
You look around and you realize, wait a second, which one of these things is not like the...
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. One of my... well, the same person as Richard Branson, really. Robin Anton. Yeah. Robin, I first fell in love with when I was watching Blowout. Her brother, Jonathan. Should have been called Blowhard, that show. But either way, I miss that show. That's one piece of basic cable I miss.
I do, too. Didn't she have a show?
Hairdresser with an Attitude. Well, she would pop up on his show
right. All
the time, and I fell in love with her. And then the Pussycat Dolls.
Right, that was her show.
And it was weird because
five years
ago on his show, she'd be talking about the Pussycat Dolls, and it was sort of like, huh, what? And then it became, don't you wish your boyfriend. So we'll take a quick break. Robin Anton in studio next.
Are we about to get it just a little hot and sweaty in this hoop?
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Girls, I was just listening to you guys, and I'm so frustrated. The stakes are so high, I just don't even think you guys realize. It's just like, it's not the best. I mean, you look like you got 2 hours sleep, and I can hear it in your vocals.
Then now, the creator of the Pussycat Dolls, Robin Anton, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Robin.
Great to see you, Adam. So, looking sexy, as always.
Thank you. I love a woman who knows how to make a man feel good about himself.
Right away.
So, the Pussycat Dolls, we got a new season coming up.
Yes.
It's on the CW. It premieres this Monday. So, what day are we in? Oh, so, coming up next week,
mm-hmm.
on Monday, 9 o'clock on the CW. Will you tell us how it goes?
Okay, well, wait. I have like a...
I'll take your gum.
It's not gum. It's like a little like mint. So, I'm going to take it out because... We already made out.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You mean you and me or you and Adam?
All of us. Okay, so Pussycat Dolls present Girlicious.
Right.
And okay.
Now, the Vegas show is still going on.
The Vegas show is going on. The Vegas show is going to go on for like the next, hopefully, 50 years.
That never ends. It's about franchising. It's
exactly.
about getting one of those in every city and doing it on TV.
Exactly. So, you know, Pussycat Dolls Lounge, Pussycat Dolls Casino in Caesar's Palace. We actually have Paris Hilton performing this weekend at the Pussycat Dolls Lounge. She's performing. It's her birthday, and she's going to be singing.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. You know, when chicks have their birthday, they want to get up on stage and shake their ass. And when guys have a birthday, they want to go up on stage at a strip club and have a chick shake their ass in front of them.
Right.
It's a little different mindset.
I know.
But,
well,
so pair us up on stage in Vegas.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Out here in Los Angeles, yep. 15 girls.
Exactly. 15 girls move into a house, basically the same format as the first season. Instead of choosing one girl to be a part of the Pussycat Dolls, which we did last season, this time I'm creating a whole new girl group. So it's, you know, very much inspired by the Pussycat Dolls.
Mm-hmm.
This group is a little bit more. It's three girls. They're this young, sort of very, you know, urban pop, a little more on the urban side. Really funky, sexy, obviously the sexiest girls.
Right.
I could ever imagine. Have you seen any of the pictures of the girls?
Yes. Well, I actually haven't seen this year's crop.
Okay.
But if you made the cut, at least to 15, you have to be hot.
Exactly.
And you have to be able to sing and dance.
Oh, yeah.
Too, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, some are better singers, some are better dancers. But, you know, I'm really good at taking a girl and you know, really sort of molding her into a superstar. I'm good at that.
By the way,
I'm like the female Hef.
Right.
And then like the female Puff.
And Lil' Kim is going to be on this. Now, Lil' Kim, by the way, I have an interesting story about her that really goes nowhere, but I had a gay assistant for a while that started off as just a joke, and then the joke was on me because he was a horrible assistant. And I showed up my office one day, and he was filling, there was a headshot of mine that he was autographing along with a letter, and I said, well, who's that for? And he said, Lil' Kim. And I said, why? I don't know Lil' Kim. She's in jail. And I said, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and send her a headshot with a letter of support from you to Lil' Kim in jail. And I was going to stop him. I was like, hey, what do you mean? And then I thought, sounds nice. Maybe Lil' Kim becomes
that was nice of you.
Yeah, it was
exactly.
Nice of me.
That was very nice.
Although it would have been funny if he wasn't planning on telling me. If I ran into Lil' Kim 5 years later and she pulled me aside and went, what you did for me when I was at employment.
Exactly.
Got me through a lot of tough nights.
Right,
a lot
right.
of tough
Thank
nights
you,
and
Adam.
That kind of support meant a lot to me.
Exactly.
And you know what I would have done? I would have went, you're welcome.
Right.
I would have never stopped and asked her what it was.
That is so
she's
funny.
She's one of the judges.
She is, yes. And she's, you know, she's a great girl. She's, it's funny because I think there's a lot of people out there that maybe they don't really realize that she's this like little sort of sweet, very soft spoken girl. And we had a great connection. We're both cancers. And,
look, when Diana Ross flipped her boobie on the Grammys like 5 years ago, she won me over. That's when I realized I was a huge.
She was a good sport.
Lil' Kim
exactly.
Fan.
Oh, yeah. She'll, you know, she's not afraid to show it. And I mean, that's why, you know, she really fit into our world of the Pussycat Dolls and helping me judge. And, you know, she comes from a different world. Like, you know, she's really lived that sort of, you know, she's a rapper. She's a, you know, she's a rock star. I mean, she understands what it takes, and she's, you know, to be like, to be on stage, to be doing everything that it takes to be a big, you know, huge.
So she's one of the judges. You're now, would you consider yourself a judge in this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sort of the visionary behind it all. And of course, you know, I'm definitely a judge on it. And I'm kind of, in a way, I'm like the ringleader. You know what I mean? I take the girls through all the paces, through the choreography, through, you know, just giving them like a whole visual of what I see as a girl who's going to be in my girl group, Girlish.
And how did the whole thing start off for you? I mean, going way back to mm-hmm. becoming a choreographer back in the day. You started as a dancer.
Yeah.
You moved into choreography.
Yes.
You started doing videos, music videos,
yep,
stuff
yep,
like that.
Yep, that's how I did it.
What was your first break in the video department, let's say? What band?
The first break was
Lick It Up by Kiss?
That would have been hot, but yeah. No. Better. It was actually, I did back-to-back two really cool videos. I did Smash Mouth,
mm-hmm.
Can't Get Enough You Baby,
mm-hmm.
and I did The Offspring, Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
I remember that
so
video.
If you think about, and McG directed both those videos, and if you think about those videos and like, it, remember back kind of the girls that were in it. It was very much like really sexy girls and, you know, it was all just what I was inspired. That's what inspired me to kind of put together the Pussycat Dolls.
It's a weird thing. Like, who knew that not only would videos, music videos.
Yeah.
There you go.
Here's the choreography.
Wow. you pioneered the shake your boobs in Adam's music video.
And your booty.
But who would have known that not only would this be great for the bands, the music videos and MTV, but the directors and choreographers and so many people involved with the behind the scenes aspect of it. Like so many guys that directed videos went on to do major league and major movies.
No, it's true. Music videos really paved the way for a lot of, you know, careers. And I mean, you know, that it taught me so much about everything, you know, choreography, just the whole visual. Like I said, you know, it's not just about the steps.
You've now worked with the Offspring and you've worked with Smash Mouth. And then it's word of mouth, right?
The other big thing that was a really big deal was actually Charlie's Angels. Mm-hmm. Thanks to McGee, who directed it and also, you know, Cameron, Drew, and Lucy, who really, you know, when they saw a videotape of the Pussycat Dolls on stage at the Viper Room back in the day, that when we were just, you know, it was just a little club show. And, you know, I remember Drew really just, she was blown away. She was like, this is insane. This has to be a part of our movie. Mm-hmm. And there you go. And they were undercover Pussycat Dolls in Charlie's Angels 2. And it was so cool back then because I think people, right? Yeah.
Right.
I think people were sort of looking at it going like, wow, they look so sexy and so hot. But like now everyone realizes that that's what we were doing.
So you go, we're talking to Robin Anton, by the way, Pussycat Dolls presents Girlicious, which is coming up it's the second season technically on CW, 9 o'clock coming up this premiering this Monday. So you're doing the video. You're doing the music videos. Your choreographer for that. Mm-hmm. But at what point do you go, I want to break off. I want to start my own group.
Well, I was actually already. It was already happening during that time, and it was really like, you know, I was starting to work as a choreographer, doing music videos, doing, you know, all these different things, but I had this little group that was sort of my little baby that, you know, only like cool people in LA knew about, you know what I mean? But it was like at the Viper Room, and it was inspiring me to kind of keep it going. And, I took it from that to, from the Viper Room, I took it over to the Roxy and made it a bigger thing. And, you know, I wanted to possibly put it in Vegas. I wanted to maybe bring it to Broadway. You know, I had all these.
But you never thought it would be the franchise that it is now.
Not really. You know, it was just one of those things that, like, the show, it was all, for me, it was all about, like, the best show ever. I wanted it to just be so, you know, every show I did. So I was thinking ahead, but I wasn't thinking that I was going to turn it into a band, you know, into this big, like, pop sensation. It was really when I brought it to the record company, actually met Jimmy Iovine through Gwen Stefani, who was one of our guests.
You'd have a lot of celebrities that would sit in.
Yeah.
Or dance
would,
in.
Yeah, like they would just show up. You know, like one night we had, you know, Carmen Electra, who's, you know, who was in the show for a long time and just supported me so much for so long. Such an incredible person. And she, you know, she was in the show. Gwen Stefani came down one night, saw the show, was like, that is the best thing ever. Can I, you know, I want to be a part of it. But so put her in the show. And then
to me, the point, you know, I'm very interested, you know, whenever somebody comes on the show, usually they're on the show because they're successful. We're talking to Richard Branson.
Yeah.
He's not a choreographer and he did not go the route that Robin Anton went, but yet they both went the success route. I mean, that's the thing that you guys share in common.
Right.
And I'm always interested in that because I think it's uplifting and empowering to people that are listening who have their own dreams and ideas
Absolutely.
And goals. But the through line in the common line here is, I feel like a lot of people look down the road to the end where they go, I want to be in every mall in America, or I want to be a household name, right? And that's not the way to do it. All you should do is focus on being a little better than you were the day before.
Exactly.
Creating the best product you can. You'll never be able to look down the road and chart all this stuff. You never will know the twists and turns and the opportunities and setbacks. You'll never be able to see it. Your job is just to go work your ass off.
Exactly.
And be better on Tuesday than you were on Monday.
Absolutely. That's what I said. You know, every show had to be the best show ever and better than the very last show. But, you know, not thinking to the very end, because I never knew what that was going to be. I just wanted to just do the best work. And I'm still like that. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be the best right here on your show.
That's what I love about you, Robin Anton.
I say that.
Look, I normally only express myself through dance, but I've decided to sit and talk.
That's how he knows he's alive.
Yeah, definitely.
If he's not dancing, he's not even sure he exists.
I love it.
That's when I know I'm alive. Well, if you want to know you're alive, you should tune in to Pussycat Dolls Presents Girlicious, CW, 9 o'clock. Starting this Monday. That's the big premiere, Robin.
Yep, it's hot, it's sexy, and you are going to love it. Lots of drama.
Well, then we'll be watching. And speaking of drama, Lynn and Alex, the Gossip Queens. And again, please, people, help me. You know, there's two things I tried to start. I tried to replace Marco Polo, the kids' pool game, with Adam Carolla.
Somewhat successfully.
And the next thing I wanted to do was with Lynn and Alex. If you're a top, you're Lynn. If you're bottom, you're an Alex.
He's gay!
I like that. It's code. You don't have to go, I'm a top. You just go, I'm a Lynn. Are you an Alex? Then we know where we're at, the gay bars. Robin, God bless you, and give your brother Jonathan a nice big sloppy non-sibling kiss from the Ace Man when you see him next, and tell him I need more of his product.
Jonathan loves you. I'm going to tell him how good your hair looks today, too.
I put a little of that dirt in.
You could maybe use a little snip.
You want to smell my hair? It smells like his product. I got a thing of it. I've been using it, seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, he's going to have to send you like a whole
55-gallon drum
of
dirt. Okay,
I'm going to tell him for sure.
We'll take a quick break. Back with Lynn and Alex next.
Bye.
And what an appropriate day for us to be here and share our love with you.
Yeah. Now, how are you guys doing? How many years you guys been going strong?
We've been going strong for 8 years. We've been married for 2.
Oh, aren't we just so
Lynn
cute?
Got a new ring. He was just showing
yes,
me.
Yes, I did. Well, you know, we lost our wedding rings in the move, you know, a little wine.
Whatever, the day laborer stole them.
Yes, so Alex did get me a new ring today. It was on my finger when I woke up because, you know, I sleep and I sleep. So he must have slipped it on me when I was sleeping. So I woke up with a beautiful Louis Vuitton ring. Hello, my man loves me, people.
Now, you guys, I don't want to get too personal, but I used to work when I was a carpenter. I had a client that was gay, and he had separate rooms. His boyfriend slept. His partner was in one room, and he was in another room. Do you guys have the same room, same bed?
We have the same beds. Gays love sex, so we like to be in the same proximity of the person we're having sex with.
And I thought
sharing a room, I don't know. That doesn't work for me.
Well, here's the deal, Adam. I was listening to the show this morning when you were talking about threesomes with married couples.
Co-stars.
And how it's totally different for gay couples. Some gay couples have open relationships where they've been together for 20 years, so they have separate rooms.
Right.
And they almost even have separate sex lives.
Right.
Yeah, that is actually fairly common. We do find that a lot of male couples that have been together a long time, they're very much in love with each other. It's a very tight relationship. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, have an open relationship, so they're going out and sleeping with other people separately.
Yeah.
As opposed to a more common situation where they're sleeping together.
Can I ask you this? We've talked about it before.
Yes.
I have this feeling. Well, first off, I do feel all heterosexual guys are secretly jealous of the gay relationship because I come home, the kids are screaming, the wife's screaming, everyone's chasing everyone around. I want to have a smart cocktail and pop in a little porn and put my feet up on
a
suede ottoman and smoke a cigarette and just blow it wherever I want. That's what I want to do. But there's no such thing as that at my house because there's too much going on. To me, and again, I'd love to drive a 2-seat convertible everywhere, but the car seat doesn't fit into the 2-seat. Mm-hmm. So in a way, It's not only do you love penis, but you love independence.
Yes, and glamour and beauty and excess. And I mean, we celebrate everything that is fabulous in life. That is really gay culture. Right. Yes. It's the truth.
And remember, our kids don't talk. They just bark.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
You have lap kids.
You guys have a little doggy.
Yes, we have a little doggy.
Very cute.
He is gifted.
And my point about the gay threesome is go ahead and bring a co-star into the bedroom.
Or the living room.
There's, or then
or the back
have,
alley.
It, have it spill then into the entry hall.
Yes.
The point is no, no kids to, no kids to warp. You know what
yes.
I mean? If you have kids, gay or straight, that kind
I
of
agree.
Lifestyle is behind you. That's
I mean,
something you
Courtney
did in college.
Love, you know, come on, girl. Crack in the living room, the kid in the other room is not cute.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Crack is only cute when you're single.
That's
you know,
right.
Kids and crack don't mix.
So what do you guys have, by the way, for us
today?
Well,
we did bring you guys some Valentine's Day gifts because I love you.
We love you. Let's start with Teresa.
Okay.
Let's start with Teresa. Now, Teresa, we know you have a special man at home, and maybe things are going to be going to the next level.
Maybe.
If he doesn't miss out, get on that.
So we brought you Poopery, which is a spray that you spray in your toilet bowl before you poop.
Yes.
So your poop will not stink.
Because we don't want him to know that you poop.
Uh-huh.
Because you do not poop. Because
I really
you are
appreciate
a lady.
This. I might have to give it to Brian because, as you guys know, I don't poop.
Yes. Oh. Beautiful women do not defecate.
No,
it's a real
I don't.
Thing.
I've said
and
this many times.
This is a real product, and you spray it into the toilet before the action happens.
Not after. It's too late after.
Yes. No, it's and before.
It's a wonderful experience. It's very like lavender and feces. It's just a wonderful blend.
It's a preemptive ass strike.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Which, by the way, Bill said he took part in last weekend. That's right.
Yikes. Good times.
But I like that.
It's very beautifully packaged, so you can just sit it right next to the toilet.
It's like a sponge that cleans up the mess before the milk gets
knocked out. Yeah, it is.
And the thing is, women always have weird, freaky, like, insecurities about men knowing if they fart or poop, and I think that's just silly. So.
I think girls pooping and farting is the most disgusting thing ever.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. Don't talk about it.
But to be fair, Lynn, you vomit when you see a woman nude.
Yeah, I know. It takes me weeks to get over your parties at the Playboy Mansion. Like, the nipples and vajayjays.
Let's get to Lynn and women, but first...
Wait.
Let me get to that.
I have been with some women, people.
But first, Adam, we also brought you some gay underwear and a gay...
They're not gay.
Well, they're a tight underwear and tank top from To Exist, because we want to see you sexy.
I want to see that tumbleweed pushing the side of those underwear. Ow, baby.
Yummy.
I gotta say, I do like this sort of boxer brief look, but when they get too short, they feel like they're gonna crawl up a little bit. I feel
these
like I
short.
Need a little leg
they
on them.
They push it up. It's kind of like a push-up bra a little bit, you know.
You should wear them tonight for your wife and just show it off, because it kind of scrunches it all together.
Be like, hey, I got a package
Now, what is with you and women?
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know Richard and Virgin America throws a great party, and I never miss them. So, we're in San Diego. We're at this great party at the Ivy. And we're having a few cocktails, and I meet this girl, and she is gorgeous. She's gorgeous. I literally know what to her, and I said, you are one of the hottest bitches at this party. You look awesome, girl. Let's go drink. So we're drinking, we're having shots, and she's like, I want to make out. And I was like, what? It's like, let's make out. And we hardcore started slamming making out on the bar.
Really?
It was awesome. And then like 30 minutes later, I'm walking around, I see her again. She's like, hey, let's make out again. And we started making out again. It was hysterical.
Now, where was your man during all this?
I was watching and laughing.
No, I was working.
He was interviewing. Oh, I forgot. We were working there, right?
I was
sexually experimenting.
Now, Alex, if you see Lynn making out with a guy, that's not going to fly, right?
No.
But a girl, no problem.
No,
is that right?
I actually walked up to him and I said, where have you been? You know, the party's amazing and Virgin flew us there. And I said, where have you been? I've been interviewing people. What are you doing? He's like, I'm making out with girls. And I'm like, oh, great, let's get a picture for the website.
Oh, my God, I love
that. Well, how did she compare in the makeout department?
It was more of like I was kind of judging that her lip liner was a little off.
Sure,
and
very critical,
her,
you people.
Yeah, and then I was a little worried that her shade didn't match my shade because I was going for more of a taupe.
Whatever.
But it was
and
very
neutral.
Soft, and it was very like... It's kind of romantic. It wasn't like brickly.
It's softer.
Like I wanted her to grab the back of my head and like slam it into my face.
Have you guys experienced this? Because I've found that women, you know, women are attracted to guys that are physically attractive, but then they're also attracted for various reasons. Like if you're dating the girl's best friend, that girl might want to get with you because that's the way many women are wired. Or a lot of guys say as soon as they put on that wedding ring, all of a sudden women are coming out of the woodwork. Mm-hmm. Isn't a gay guy the ultimate wedding ring? Do you know what I mean? If that's the ultimate challenge to a beautiful woman, a lot of people have that. Well, you're with my best friend. I bet you could be with me. Or you're married. I bet I could get you. But I'm gay. Is that the Mount Everest for hot chicks to climb? And do you guys ever experience that?
I would have to disagree, because what happens is every beautiful woman has fallen in love with a gay man at one point in their life and been utterly heartbroken.
Yes, it happens to us all the time. Women love to fall in love
with
gay men.
My wife's going through that right now.
She's in love with Jimmy?
All right, what do we have in the gossip department, kiddies?
In the gossip department, you know, we've got some great stuff on our website. Like Forbes just released their list of the most influential Hollywood couples, and the list is very surprising.
It is actually really surprising.
I'm just going to read the top five. First, we have Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise, of course, but they're they tied for four.
Mm-hmm.
Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban are number three, and this is due to like publicity and like
press. Because he went to rehab.
Yeah, and you know,
and
she's,
her Botox is wearing off.
Yeah, I mean, she's pregnant.
Also, Keith Urban is one of these guys where if you're in a blue state, you're like, huh?
Yeah.
What's the big deal?
I think it's NASCAR thing.
And then you find out that these guys are mammoth. Leonardo DiCaprio and whatever bitch he happens to be humping at the time. That would be a great thing on that list.
They actually did not make
George
the list.
George Clooney and Choose the Floozy.
Number two is Kate Moss and Pete Doherty.
They're the power drug couple.
Can I say this with the Kate Moss thing?
Like,
when you find out what she pulled down last year, whenever they do those things, it's like, oh, she made $13 million last year. You're like, what?
It's ridiculous. They get paid so much money for just showing
up. And Pete Doherty, all I know from him is he likes to spit on reporters and throw beers at people.
He photographs smoking crack and shooting up heroin.
Does he have hit singles in the UK that we're not aware of?
He must.
He is part of a band in the UK that is, you know, semi-successful, but he's successful because of the press he gets.
Yeah, he's not like Amy Winehouse, who is like a beautiful songstress and just happens to have a itty-bitty
problem. What did you think of her on the Grammys? Did you see her
wonderful
performance?
Wonderful.
By the way,
she deserves it.
Kate Moss, a little thin, still hot.
Very hot.
There is not enough Purell in North America for me to boil her in after Pete Doherty.
And she has kids.
If I knew she was on top of that guy for the last 3 years and then she wanted to be with me, I would have to boil her
in
diesel nut
juice. What's the difference between him and Pete Wentz or whatever that guy's name is?
Oh, well, one we've seen the penis of from, online and dates. Ashley Simpson, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But Pete Wentz is actually a rocker from the U.S. He's just like bad hair.
He's kind of square.
But the funny thing about Kate Moss and Pete Doherty is I've decided that I'm going to have a heroin addiction because you win Grammys.
Yeah.
You're an influential couple.
It's a new hot thing.
Well, Kate made more money after she was busted with
cocaine. It's a career booster.
I know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, number one is
Kim and Corolla.
Lynn and Alex.
Oh, my God.
I do have to say that, Adam, we had Lynn and Alex on TV Water Cooler, my show on Deep Cable, and we had the highest rating in about 4 months with these guys.
Hello. We are like a ratings magnet. We also just did Extra. We got signed with Extra. Hello. Look for us next week, people.
I know people out there are killing me. The number one is actually Angelina and Brad, of course.
Oh my God.
Is she pregnant?
God, that girl's going to start lactating like a dairy cow.
The rumor is she's pregnant for sure, because what these Hollywood actresses are doing is they're going to these in vitro fertilization clinics. Everyone's having twins because they're all in, you know.
Why wouldn't you have Brad do it?
Can I ask? Can I? I would.
Right?
I mean,
I would.
That's Shiloh.
I'm on the waiting list.
She's in her 40s.
Can I ask you?
Oh my God.
Can I ask you this about that couple?
Yes, please.
Brad, although he's involved with philanthropic endeavors, I don't think of him as a sort of intellectual heavyweight. I really don't. And I'll give you, probably smokes a lot of spleef and hangs out. And everyone tries to kind of paint him as an architect and a man of the world
and
stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think he's nearly her intellectual equal. Now, let me say this.
Okay, now we're saying Angelina's
I'll give you an example. She, I do believe, is the real McCoy. Now, I don't know what her motivation is, but if someone wants to do something good for the world, uh-huh. I don't care what their motivation
yeah,
is.
Yeah, totally.
So she's over in the green zone in Iraq wearing a flak jacket and mm-hmm. trying to get the Sunnis together with the Shiites. He's PO'd because he has a $70,000 Ducati road bike, super bike, coming in from Italy, and he wants it first.
Yeah, because Tom Cruise is supposed to get it.
Right. Now think, and I love that Ducati, and it's a bitchin' bike, and I'm more like him, sadly, than I am like her. But think about those two people coexisting in the same space.
Right.
She wants to go to Iraq and save the kids. He's hanging out at the port of L.A. waiting for the troller to come from Italy so he can hop on his $70,000 Ducati. Yeah. I don't know that that's going to go on forever, and I'm not so sure he's so much like her.
Yeah.
I think he gets dragged along to a lot of these things.
I think they share a passion for kids.
Yeah, but you have to remember, Angelina, a few years ago, she was a bit of a freak show. I mean, she made out with her brother.
She wore blood around her neck.
Yeah, but he's a dullard. I agree with Adam. They don't seem like really a perfect guy.
It's a contradiction.
Yeah, it is. It's a, maybe they're polar opposites, so they work together, and she's like, oh, you're cute, but you don't care about anything but me, and she's like, I care about the world, and my house is a Benetton ad, and I love children.
There are those people who got so famous that now they're looking for something else to fulfill them. There's that point that you become, Adam, you haven't reached that point yet.
Oh, you haven't?
There's that point where you become so famous where you just have to do something else. You have to give back, or else you just go to bed and feel guilty.
Right. And I do think Angie is like sincere about her.
Yeah. I do too, and I think Brad genuinely loves the kids.
Yes.
Oh, he is a daddy.
And now
he
that they're having daddy. Now that they're having twins and they have Shiloh plus the two adopted babies. I mean,
she has twins inside her.
It is rumored she has twins because her and Jennifer Lopez are both using in vitro fertilization to get pregnant.
Why are they doing that?
Because when you do
that, you have trouble when you're AMA, advanced maternal age.
Yeah.
I don't know why I know that.
Is that right? I know nothing about those girl parts.
And also, Mark, you know, I don't think she allows Mark Anthony to have sex with her.
He looks like
a wet Mexican rat.
Oh, my God. He should do a Taco Bell campaign. Seriously.
He drives me nuts. He's like a lap dog.
But he's talented. She loves his talent.
I've heard his number one song out here, and it's the worst song since
the Macarena.
Yes.
Okay.
Jennifer Lopez is one of those women that has to have the power in the relationship.
She is a power diva.
Okay, so we're saying if she dates George Clooney, she gives up the power.
No, I'm saying she would never date George Clooney because it would never work.
She has to be the alpha. That's my point.
We all, it's an interesting thing. It's something that happens in the hetero world, but how about the homosexual world? In the hetero world, once in a while, you do see the leggy, tall, beautiful blonde with the putsy little dumpy guy, and you think, what the hell is she doing with him? And then you realize she's with him because he's never going to cheat on her, never going to dump her. Uh-huh. She could go out with Lorenzo Lamas, but Lorenzo would start banging the nanny half a month into the relationship. Right.
Totally.
Thank you.
In the gay world,
I'm stuck in the 80s. Good-looking guy, wearing a members-only jacket.
Oh, I thought he was hot. He worked for me a couple times.
Stonewashed jeans. The point is...
Denim short.
There's a flower and a gardener.
And in a gay world, a lot of times you'll see a really hot, like, 25-year-old guy bulging out of his, like, tight-fitted T-shirt. And, like, an older man in, you know, like, a nice Burberry suit who's not very hot, but he drives, you know, like a Bentley.
Right.
So you see that happening a lot in the gay world. And a lot of times, young gay guys look for that daddy figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So it exists in both worlds.
Yes.
But also, in a gay relationship, both the gay men think they're the attractive one.
Yes, and it's always a source of contention.
Like, I'm the attractive one in the relationship.
Get real, bitch. I'm the pretty one.
Well, you know.
You are skinny, as Alex calls you, skinny Lenny.
I would have said that, 6 months ago, but Lynn has been dropping the pounds.
That's right.
Hand over fist. Let me tell you something. Sorry about the fist one. But here's my point. Take this in spirit in which it's intended. But as a gay man, you cannot lose weight that fast without freaking people out. So slow it down a little bit. It's therapy,
people. I swear it's real. It works. Dr. Leonard Norris, I love you forever. You made me beautiful. But I know. Oh my God, what's that noise? No, but I tell you, in the gay world, you're not only judged by, we were saying you see couples sometimes older, right. Younger, maybe out of their league. A lot of times it's your genitalia.
Oh my God.
If you're packing heat, you're packing a line of guys behind you because you can be like the elephant man. Uh-huh. But if you pull it down and you're also elephant size, you got a man for life.
Well, that's an interesting thing because we constantly claim in the hetero community that that's no big deal and it's not about that. But in the gay community, that's a big plus.
Because we lose the pretense.
Yeah, we're a visual, men are visual. Mm-hmm. And that's why you guys like big boobies and all those things shaking on those poor women running around. And men are gay men are the same way. They're all size queens.
So there are guys out there in the clubs, in the gay communities, who you know have the reputation for that.
Can you tell from a guy's personality if he's packing?
You can tell a little bit. If a gay man, you can sort of tell who is packing. It is the truth.
Nasally drone and wry sense of humor. Those are the two what we call indicators.
Those are tells.
Everybody knows, straight, gay, whatever, if you're a guy and you have a big thingy, you will show it. You will show it at the drop of a hat. You will drop your pants and show it.
Straight guy or gay man, that is the truth. That's why I love a good party.
Whenever there's bootleg porn, like celebrity bootleg porn, I always know the guy's hung. Otherwise, he wouldn't get it out there. I was driving home from the Playboy Mansion with a couple of drunk buddies two nights ago, and we had a semi-gay conversation, which is we all decided that Barack Obama was hung like a black rhino. We all decided he was the most hung of all the candidates, probably
based
second
on
only
confidence?
To Hillary. We just decided, we squared him up. We all, and these are smart, well-traveled men.
Oh, yeah.
And we all decided he was, and not only did we decide he was hung, we all signed off on his penis.
Wow.
We all decided the kind it was, the way, you know, if he dressed to the left and how it hung and where.
Wow. Or is he a Tucker Downer?
I even decided that he had an injury. Sexually, at some point where one of the cavernous bodies was injured, there was a little scar tissue and he had a little dog leg.
Dog
leg in it.
You guys have looked at a lot of feet.
What in God's holy name are you
in that limo?
Would you be surprised to know that Barack was hung?
I would not be surprised. Even Oprah says that it is a statistical fact that many African American men have large badonga dongs.
They have, it is? They have longer appendages because they come from an environment that's very hot, and when you're hot, you have to dissipate the heat that way.
Exactly.
If you're an Eskimo, if you're an Eskimo, you're built a different way, to keep in the heat.
And your testicles need to be 3 degrees off of your body temperature. Did you know that?
Mine are packed in dried ice as we speak.
I love it.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about anymore. But let's just call him Barack Obanga.
Oh, hey, he just got every gay vote.
All right, well, speaking of the gay vote, Lynn and Alex, I want to give you guys a plug. We're running a half hour late.
Plug me.
LARagmag.com. Go there. It's good for your soul. LARagmag.com. Lynn and Alex, God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
Bye. Love it.
And we're back.
Good morning. Who is in the studio today?
To the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's one of my favorite things in life, the USA Today snapshot.
Yeah.
This is where they go out and do these very informative polls of Americans. Listen to this, T. Prepared to be bowled over.
All right.
Would you date a coworker? That's what they want to know. So they polled, 1,000 people, and here's what they came up with. 43% of men say yes, they would date a coworker, whereas 28% of women say no, 28% of women say yes, they would. So 43% guys, yes, 28 women, yes. Now in the no department, 31% men say no, they would not date a coworker, versus 29% of women, so about the same. Say they would not date a coworker, but here's the part I love. Not sure.
Yeah.
25% of men, not sure. Can't commit to that answer. And here's the even better one. 43% of women polled, not sure. So half of the women, nearly half of the goddamn women they talk to. And by the way, when that happens, no poll.
Right.
You have no poll anymore.
It's an opinion poll, and if a great many of the people have no opinion...
then you have no poll!
There you go.
Stop the presses, everybody. This is breaking news.
Every one of these goddamn USA snapshots always has a huge chunk of the pie that says, not sure, didn't know.
Well, if I wasn't taken, I would date a coworker. Just got some roses from Frank of Heidi Frosty and Frank.
He is a gentleman, and... every one of these snapshots does that thing where it's like, favorite comfort food. 28% of people said meatloaf. 33% of people said mom's apple pie. But 72% said don't know.
Don't know.
And by the way, they don't know, Paul. Unnecessary.
Right. 100% of the readers don't know why they're reading this poll.
Right. Don't care anymore. And by the way, I don't know if these folks are going to be ready to head down to Gitmo and sweat some prisoners or do 60 Minutes or go undercover as an investigative reporter, but don't know. I feel like I would prod just a little
right.
bit. I just talked to 300 women who said don't know. I'm going to follow it up with, well, what if that was off the table?
Right, if you had to say yes or no.
I don't know about that. Is there a greater cop-out? And who wouldn't date somebody? I mean, if you were single and there was someone you were really attracted to who worked across the hall, you would not date them?
Everybody dates people
of
they work.
Of course. They just don't want people to think that. I don't know.
100% liars.
By the way, any you a-holes out there that give that answer of, I don't know, you're saying you're an idiot.
I don't know about...
What's your favorite this? I don't know.
I don't
Would
know.
You do this? I don't know.
I don't know.
How are you getting to the airport?
I don't know about...
There you go.
What's your favorite snack food?
Don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. I don't know if I would date somebody I voted for. I don't know if they live what my favorite comfort food...
Would you like to hear the news?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. You're an idiot if you say I don't know. It's the same way as when you're in school. Hey, Johnny, what's 3 times 7? I don't know. Hey, who was involved in the Civil War? I don't know.
Did you like that movie?
I don't know. Would you date someone in the office? I don't know.
What's your favorite book?
Well, actually did kind of get me on that one.
I don't know.
Shoot.
All right, T, what do you got in the news, baby girl?
Adam, this is radio.
You know what my favorite book is?
What?
The next one I read.
Tomorrow's news.
Because there is no last one.
That's right.
Today.
32-year-old Brian Sterner of Riverview, Florida, was arrested on January 29th on an outstanding warrant for a traffic incident that happened back in October. After he was arrested on the 29th, Brian was taken to Orient Road Jail for booking. But when 44-year-old Charlotte Marshall Jones, who's a deputy with the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, told Brian to stand, he told her he could not. See, Brian broke his neck in a car accident 14 years ago. He's a paraplegic. You've probably seen videotape of this. It's been all over the internet. He's paralyzed from the chest down and drives a car that's been fitted with hand pedals. But Charlotte, for God knows what reason, did not believe this man, so she walked behind him.
Wait a second. She didn't do the custom van math?
Apparently not.
He's taking his life at very elaborate lengths.
Did she pull him over on the road? Or
she
was
may
he
have just been the deputy that was at the...
Processing him. Well, first off, the wheelchair.
Yeah.
That's not a tip-off that your legs aren't working as great as they did?
I mean, in Trading Spaces, when Eddie Murphy was on the skateboard, it happens in
That's
movies.
That's very true.
In this case, he really is paralyzed, and she really didn't believe him, so she grabbed the handles on the back of his wheelchair, tossed him to the floor, and then proceeded to frisk him. Here is his account as given on the Today Show.
Well, she was requesting that I stand up for some reason. My guess is that it had to do with frisking me. And I informed her at least 2 or 3 times that I couldn't stand up because I was a quadriplegic. She said a lot of things. She didn't say that she didn't believe me, but her actions really, I mean, beget what was going through her mind, which to me means that she didn't believe that I was a quadriplegic.
What was he arrested for?
He had some outstanding warrant for a traffic incident.
Mm-hmm, when he broke his neck. And
no, that was 14 years
ago.
Now,
you said paraplegic. He said quadriplegic. I saw the film, and I saw some movement come from his hands.
Yeah. So, according to the reports I'm reading, CNN says that He is disabled, obviously.
In the video I saw, he had limited movement of his hands.
Yes, that's how it looked to me. Yeah.
From the movie Murderball, we all know that you can be in the quadriplegic team just
that's
for having
right.
limited movement in all four limbs.
Yeah, there's degrees of limitation.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Unclear what his is. Also, it's unclear if he's injured. Here's what he had to say about that.
That's a good question. I haven't seen the x-rays. My doctor hasn't seen the x-rays. My right side is still acting very strange to me. I don't have any sensation from the chest down. So I very well could have broken something.
Yes, and you wouldn't even know it.
And I wouldn't even know it.
No, he calls himself quadriplegic.
All right. He didn't break anything. But on the other hand, there's going to be a huge lawsuit. We're going to have a guy who's a criminal getting millions of dollars now.
Well, hold on.
Because of some crazy...
Deputy should not be allowed to dump quadriplegics out of wheelchairs, though, right?
Whoa. Let's not rush to judgment.
There's also the degrees of criminal. Picked up on an outstanding traffic citation is not...
No. Look, I don't sympathize. Well, first off, here's the deal. What happened to him physically, we have all done that at any given time in our lives many times. Now, we're not paraplegic. Mm. That's true. But I don't know if there's a huge difference between you dumping me forward off a chair or me having no use of my legs and you dumping me forward off a chair. I saw the tape. He wasn't injured. I don't think he's injured. I'm going to go out on a limb and they're not going to find any injury on him. So he's fine. On the other hand, what she did was definitely wrong, and he will still get hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, when essentially what happened to him was no different than anything that's ever happened to us at any given day of our life during some sports practice or something like that. What she did is wrong. Here's the world I'd like to live in. I'd like to live in the world where they fire her ass, mm-hmm. but they don't punish all the taxpayers by giving him $5 million.
Right.
He's fine.
I should say that today the Hillsborough County, Florida sheriff has issued an apology saying, "I am personally embarrassed and shocked by the horrific treatment Mr. Sterner received." He goes on to say, "I cannot and will not even try to offer an explanation for what is seen on the video other than to say that once it was brought to my attention, I immediately initiated an internal investigation." Mm-hmm. So they're very sorry.
Mm-hmm. He'll be fine.
I think we have to take a break.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Time flies.
Well, why don't you tease the rest of the news, sweetie Petey?
Oh, very interesting story out of New York City to do with condoms.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hi, I'm Jay Moore. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show because apparently you don't own any CDs.
Okay. Where all the hate, brother? All right, T-Bone, let's finish the news, baby girl.
The New York Health Department is rolling out a citywide safe sex campaign with the slogan, "Get Some."
Mm.
That's right, the slogan, "Get Some," is plastered all over the city from buses to subways, on local TV spots. The ads feature both hetero and homosexual partners hugging and kissing, presumably before engaging in safe sex. And today, for Valentine's Day, the city is installing 200 free condom dispensers in bars, restaurants, community service agencies, and STD clinics.
Mm-hmm. You know, AIDS is not just a gay disease, although everyone you know who has AIDS is gay, but it is an equal opportunity killer. I should point that out to everybody.
Last year, the city of
New York doesn't kill straight guys unless they get bad blood, unless they're hemophiliacs and get bad blood. But you're just as likely to get AIDS whether you be straight or gay, just like sickle cell. It's just as many white people get it as black folks, and that's why we should focus just as much on white people when we're talking about sickle cell. That's an awesome plan, by the way, from the CDC. It'd be nice if they did that with all diseases.
All of this was a late scratch from that ad campaign. They couldn't fit it on the post.
Yeah.
I loved when all the AIDS stuff was out there, and they were constantly trying to feed that. It is an equal opportunity. Why don't you retards do that with sickle cell then? Why not? As long as you're lying, why don't you just keep it going with every disease? Don't focus on the black community when you're talking about sickle cell. Why not talk to Whitey about it?
Doesn't that make sense in your retarded, twisted, backwards world?
Yes,
sure,
hello.
Why not? I'll tell you the reason why you don't do it, you idiots. Because if you focus on white people who don't get the disease, then more black people die because there's not enough resources to focus on everybody. But nice job with the AIDS.
Last year, New York City gave away 36 million free condoms to its 8 million residents. That's four condoms for every person in the city.
Well, you know, wow. It was just one super horny guy.
They used all 36 million.
That's right. David Spade was the only guy who used those condoms.
All right, this is another story out of New York City. This one from The Post. A 67-year-old guy from...
Let me say this, too, about AIDS. Here's how you know we don't have to worry about it anymore. They go to the world statistics. Whenever they go world, we don't have to worry. Whatever disease it is, once they go world, we're done. You see, they'll go, you know, when diseases start, they'll go one out of every 80 Americans, one out of every whatever school children in Europe. It could be your neighbor. It could be someone you work with. Eventually, we get it under control, and then they shift to worldwide. Someone comes down with hepatitis C every 15 minutes. Once they go worldwide, we're done. Now they're just talking about other screwed up nations we don't have to worry about. So that's the code. When they go world, and if you think about AIDS, they gone world on AIDS now. They're not talking about this country. Once they go world, licked it.
Noted.
Don't have to think about it. Never have to give another penny to it. We're
done. Nations do ruin the curve.
That's right. That's right.
Richard Benjamin was a quiet 67-year-old retired math teacher. And to everyone who knew him, he just seemed like a normal, boring guy.
Mm-hmm.
The Post is reporting that he would go on a lot of weekend trips. He would say he was going hiking or skiing from Montreal. Well, he ended up in New York City at an S&M club called the Nutcracker Suite.
Tell me it was S-E-W-E-E-T.
No, that would have been nice. Last Friday, during a session with a 30-year-old dominatrix named Taki Noriko, Richard accidentally hung himself and slipped into a coma for 3 days.
Mm.
He didn't have oxygen for a few minutes.
Definitely not a Jew.
When he finally woke up, he told the cops who he was, and they contacted his wife.
Oh, good
times. The poor woman had no idea that her husband was into this kind of thing.
He was in a coma?
For 3 days from losing oxygen.
Holy Christ. See, that's the problem. When you forget your safe word, you know what I'm saying?
It's very dangerous.
She was French Canadian and she was Asian. They probably just kind
of
mix up.
I have a safe sentence, which is, get the F off of me, bitch.
I'm serious.
I can't effing breathe. Yeah, I don't want to be searching around while the blood is being squeezed out of my head. I don't want to be searching around for the
safe word.
Yes.
Well, he now says he's given up on the deviant behavior that nearly killed him, and he used this analogy. It's like when you crave a turkey. You eat it and you eat it and you eat it, but you still want it. But now I've had enough. I don't want turkey anymore. I'm full. Understandably, his wife has not commented publicly on the situation, but the folks at the Nutcracker Suite are very happy. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser.
I wonder how the turkey analogy went over with the old lady. No, sweetie, we don't have to get divorced. It's like this. You know, sometimes when you want turkey.
Right.
And so you eat turkey.
Yeah.
And then you eat some more turkey.
Right.
And then some Asian chick with a gimp mask tries to strangle the turkey.
That's where you lost me.
No, I mean, oh, wait, sorry. You want more turkey?
Yeah.
And then so you keep eating turkey?
Yeah.
And then you're full.
This is very specific.
You don't want any more turkey anymore, right?
Right.
Well, that's what it's like with me and, you know, having somebody work my sack like a speed bag.
All is forgiven.
Okay, baby. Now, I don't know about you, but let's start planning Thanksgiving because
I'm a little hungry too.
Yeah, I'm peckish. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy. We'll be right back after this. Just enough time to give some thanks. Doesn't that feel like a fast show?
Yeah, it flew by today.
Now, disagree with me if you disagree, because I have this happen a lot in my life where I go, was that kind of weird? And people go, yeah, it felt weird. Or I go, didn't that just zing by? And they go, yeah, that just flew by.
But you told us we're not allowed to disagree.
You said we'd be fired immediately.
Well, if you read the message board, it's understood that anyone who disagrees with me is immediately down the road.
We got to get stick cam in here so Teresa and I can make the eye signals to our loved ones that we're being coerced into. Yes, sir, it was a very fast show.
It went by. See you in the cornfield where Adam will wish us.
God damn. If I look, not that I don't love firing people, I just don't care enough about this program to fire people. That's what you should all understand. Mark Steinis, Entertainment Tonight. You go to ET Online, check your local listings. I want to thank Robin Anton. Pussycat Dolls presents Girlicious.
The
premieres
story.
Monday night, 9 p.m. on the CW, Lynn and Alex.
And you know, your testicles need to be 3 degrees off of your body temperature.
Dudelicious is the name of their next production. LARagmag.com. And, of course, go to free2hd at adamcarolla.com. And hear the show over and over again. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo. I'm a hot young chick. Of course, I want to hitch my wagon to his team.